Ever feel like your bedroom's shrinking? Don't worry, you don't have to sell your favorite things to make space. With IKEA Bedroom Storage Solutions, think dressers, wardrobes, full closet systems, even storage boxes. You can keep it all. Your vintage band tees? Safe. Those limited edition sneakers? Plenty of room. And yes, your childhood teddy bear gets a spot too. Don't sell what you love. Store it instead with IKEA Bedroom Storage Solutions. Shop now at ikea.us/bedroom-storage.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 17th of November, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, we're starting to see some unraveling of the MAGA cult, and I'm very optimistic about this. We'll see what happens with it, but could it be that there is a silver lining to Trump, just like there was a silver lining to the lockdowns? You had a lot of parents who you could talk to them, you could reason with them, but they could never see what was happening in the school until the lockdown. And then finally, one thing woke them up. And so we'll see if this is going to be the what has been happening this last week with Trump. He completely lost it over the weekend. We're going to begin with the Epstein stuff, and then we'll talk about how Trump is eating his own. And then we've got a lot to talk about in terms of the fourth turning. We are getting at the tail end of the fourth turning, and folks, things are really going to accelerate fast. We've kind of gone over the event horizon of this black hole. And some really strange things are going to happen. And there's a couple of different scenarios we're going to talk about and what you might want to do in each of these scenarios, as well as the scenario of AI, new frightening, crazy plans from Elon Musk. We'll be right back. Well, I'll begin with O.J. Simpson. Because there's just been a settlement now for the O.J. Simpson estate. Long ago, Ron Goldman's family won a settlement in a civil lawsuit against O.J. Simpson. And of course, you know, we saw jury nullification at its worst. That was one of the problems with that. Jury nullification is very, very important for nullifying an out-of-control government. And yet, what this jury did was they allowed a known murderer to go free because they liked him better than they liked the police, or whatever the reasons were. This is where the Cardassians got started, I guess. You know, their father was the lawyer representing him. But for most of the country, we looked at this and we were appalled at the open corruption. We were appalled at seeing people, perps, get away with it. And to me, when I saw this, O.J. Simpson estate is signing off on $58 million for Ron Goldman's father, decades after he won in the lawsuit. And so they kept this going and going. They had the money, but they wouldn't pay it. Now he has died, and the executor of the Simpson estate has finally accepted the claim for $58 million. They negotiated it down from, I think, $170 million. And so they're prioritizing paying the IRS and other debts before they pay off the lawsuit. But what we saw with the O.J. Simpson thing, and of course, it was mercilessly and continually lampooned by Norm MacDonald on Saturday Night Live. So much so that Probably got pushed out of that out of Saturday Night Live for doing it. The people running it were not happy about what he was saying at all about the O.J. Simpson situation. But it hung over society, this getting away with murder, in the same way that Jeffrey Epstein getting away with what he did to young girls. And with Donald Trump getting away with being his his wingman or whatever, right? And so when you look at this, I think that helps to explain why this, of all issues, I mean, when I go back and I look at 2020 and what Trump did in 2020, both at the beginning of 2020 with the lockdowns and the vaccines and all the rest of this stuff and paying hospitals to murder people, and then finishing up with his massive Stop the Steal grift. Actually, that wasn't his grift. His was Save America. Stop the Steal was Alex Jones's special grift, where the both of them made millions of dollars at the expense of their gullible followers. And so when I look at this and the fact that this is coming back, I think there's a lot of parallels to it. I think that when you look at the O.J. Simpson thing, it helps to explain people's outrage at this corruption, this corrupt society. And there's an article that is on The Guardian talking about the banality of evil. And one of the things that has come out of these 20,000 emails that were part of the Epstein estate is just how many people he was connected with that were very, very powerful people, of course, and how it was kind of not even an issue for them what he had done, what he had been convicted of and basically got away with doing. And so they would look at this and it's like, you know, I don't care what the guy does. You know, I need his political expertise. And he had political expertise for sure. As they point out in this article, the banality of evil. He got by with a little help from his friends. He sure did. From British royalty to White House alumni, from a Silicon Valley investor to a left-wing academic, connections and influence were the ultimate currency for Jeffrey Epstein. And interestingly enough, Democrats figure more in his sphere of influence than Republicans do, with the exception of Trump, who, as I always say, is not a Republican. He's a New York City Democrat, friend of the Clintons, friend of Epstein's, and that's why Trump is in here. Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of articles I see from conservatives saying, well, the Democrats released this stuff to get Trump. Did they look at any of it? Did they realize how badly they come out and all this stuff? Well, of course, there's a lot of highly connected academics and, you know, Democrat politicians that are involved in this Epstein thing. And I would include in that Donald Trump. I've always believed that he's a Democrat. So none of them appeared to challenge Epstein over his horrific crimes. They don't really care. And again, this article from The Guardian, the dog that didn't bark here is the Mossad and the intelligence agencies. And they completely skip over that stuff. Well, you know, Trump turned him in because of his real estate fight, not because he had a problem with what he was doing. As a matter of fact, you know, we talk about this from the British perspective, and they mention the man formerly known as Prince, who's now known as Andrew. So when you look at this, you can't forget what Michael Wolff pointed out, that Epstein and Trump formed themselves into what they called a committee to go find young girls for Andrew when he was prince. And that tells you a lot. So spanning 2009 to 2019, Epstein's short, choppy emails, laden with spelling and grammatical errors, do little to implicate his contacts, including Trump, in any criminal activities, but they show the acquaintances supporting him during legal troubles while others sought introductions or asked for advice on everything from dating to oil prices. This bantering, frivolous tone implies that Epstein would have felt still welcome as a member of polite society. No, I'd say not polite society, of elite society, receiving no social incentive to change his ways. Far from being ostracized as a sex offender, he was normalized. And we all know that. That's why we look with disgust and disdain at the elite society. because in the elite society, the clubs that you and I are not a part of, thankfully, it is this kind of behavior that is normal. And there is no ostracism for mass murder, whether it's by war or by vaccine. There's no ostracism. There's celebration. Hey, you got away with it. And look at, you're now, you made billions off this thing. Good job. Can you give me advice on how to do that as well?
It reminds me of the myth of ancient Greece being homosexual because there was a problem of the elites being homosexuals and pedophiles.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That has been twisted historically, but the people were not happy with that. Homosexuality,
like here.
Not just pedophilia, but just homosexuality was illegal in ancient Greece and had pretty horrific punishments for people that were found guilty of homosexuality.
But, of course, the elites flaunt the rules and the laws because they don't apply to them. What did they do at the school board meetings in Athens? Of course, they didn't have schools like that. What they had was, you know, the academy that Aristotle had and everything. It was a peripatetic form of instruction. He would walk along with his students, and they would talk as they walked. Same thing that Jesus would do, and same thing that we're told to do with our children, Deuteronomy 6, when you walk with them in the way. So when you walk through life with them, you teach them. Anyway, going back to this, over this 10-year period, there's no ostracism. In several messages in 2018, he advised longtime Trump ally Steve Bannon, who is all over the the place in these emails, another banal, evil guy. He doesn't have any interesting insights, folks, but he is evil. You got to give him that. It is Steve Bannon is right there on the cusp of being evil, and he's another one of these guys who there's no concern about what Jeffrey Epstein did or was continued to be while Bannon was there. As a matter of fact, Bannon comes in and is like, "Can you help me with some introductions over such and such a place? Can I help you with PR? Can I restore your public image because the public is not happy with you?" I know the elites don't care. You know, we all love you because you're successful. We don't care what you do. So that's one of the things that's come out of this is Steve Bannon. If only people would wake up to this guy. It's just amazing to me. On his political tour of Europe, Bannon forwarded Epstein a news clip that described the German media as, quote, underestimating Bannon. And saying he was, quote, as dangerous as ever. Well, how about that? Sometimes the media gets it right. I would say maybe Steve Bannon is even more dangerous than ever because people are trusting him. Do not trust that guy. Do not trust him at all. And Epstein responded and said, "Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, you're as dangerous as ever." And so he said, Epstein, followed up in an email to Steve Bannon, there are many leaders of countries we can organize for you to have one-on-ones. I agree 100%. How do I do that? Said Bannon. Do you notice the we there? I wonder who the we is. Is it Mossad that he's working with? Because we know that he did work with Mossad. He was their go-to guy for several countries and relationships that were there. You had a physicist, Lawrence Krauss, who was facing sexual harassment allegations. And so he emailed Epstein for advice. That would be one area where he would have a lot of experience. If you're looking at prison time, you may not want to ask him too much advice about how to do time, because he didn't do time for what he did. But he did do the sexual harassment stuff, to put it mildly.
Sometimes people with sexual harassment allegations, they're false allegations. But if you're asking Epstein for advice on how to get away from them, I kind of think these are accurate.
That's right. That's right. Well, Larry Summers, who was the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, later became president of Harvard University, described his interactions with a woman and asked him to give him dating advice and to critique how he had interacted with this woman. And Epstein thought he was doing a great job. Did he slip her a drug or something?
Wait, you interact with them first?
Yeah, exactly. What interaction? Yeah. This is like asking Andrew Tate for dating advice or advice on the opposite sex or something. In another email, Larry Summers opined, I'm trying to figure why American elite think if you murder your baby by beating or abandonment, notice not if you murder your baby by abortion, ripping them apart limb by limb. Okay. But if you abandon your, if you murder your baby by beating or abandonment, it is irrelevant to your admission to Harvard. But hit on a few women 10 years ago, and you can't work at a network or at a think tank. And then he puts an all uppercase, do not repeat this insight. Well, Larry, it's just been repeated everywhere. The truth will come out eventually for these people. Even if not in their lifetime, it will come out. And so isn't that amazing, right? You know, you can kill your baby, but don't harass a woman because they'll come after you. You know, especially if you rip your baby apart, pay a doctor to do it, they will applaud you on the left.
The real funny thing here is that he's saying that there shouldn't be any punishment for the other thing as well. Not that, yeah. Isn't it absurd that these people are getting away with murdering their baby? It's, I want some of that.
This is the banality of evil, exactly. So Summers asked him, he said, how is life among the lucrative and the louche? Said, when we meet, I will endeavor to mesmerize you with my stories of D.C. It is so wild, said Epstein. Well, Summers was not the only Democrat in Epstein's orbit. Catherine Rumler, a former White House counsel, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right or not, under Barack Obama, sent a message to him calling Trump so gross, and he said, he's worse in real life and up close. In other emails with her, Epstein detailed a whirlwind of well-known people that he appears to be meeting, hosting, or speaking with that week. So here's some of the people I'm going to be meeting with. An ambassador, a tech giant, foreign business people, academics, a film director. I wonder if that was Woody Allen. You know, Woody Allen, when he wrote in the birthday book, he was talking about how he had known Epstein for the longest time, of course. Woody Allen, who married his stepdaughter. He said, you are a welcome guest at any of these, he wrote to her. And so, you know, when you look at this and you look at Woody Allen's statement, talking about how when he and his wife first went there, his wife is his stepdaughter wife, first went to the first party that they did with Epstein. He said, it's a little bit awkward, but you've really become polished. And the conversation is just so amazing and interesting. And I guess maybe there were other things as well.
Yeah, that's why everyone was going to Epstein Island, was for the conversation.
That's why they read Playboy for the interviews, right? He says, I think I'm going to drive, she said. And I'll then stop to pee and get gas at a restaurant. At a rest stop in the New Jersey Turnpike. And I will observe all the people there who are at least 100 pounds overweight. and I'll have a mild panic attack as a result of the observation, and will then decide that I am not eating another bite of food for the rest of my life out of fear that I will end up like one of those people. See, being overweight is awful in her eyes. But being a pedophile, that's fine. Especially if you're erudite and entertaining in your conversation. This is the elitist contempt, not only for morality, but for all of us as well. They look at us with contempt. It helps you to understand why they can kill us for money, right? With a vaccine and other things. Andrew's official account of his relationship with Epstein and his accusers, an email from March of 2011, shows continued contact 4 months after Andrew later publicly claimed to have ended the relationship. In a message to Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell regarding the allegations, the man formerly known as Prince, now known as Andrew, said, "I can't take any more of this on my end." You know, the thing about it is, and there's no lesson being learned from Andrew's experience by Donald Trump. Because I said last week, you know, the people around him said he's taking us down because he is so tone deaf and blind to the optics of what he's doing. He continued, just like Donald Trump, he insisted that he had done nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, he insisted they didn't know Virginia Guthrie, even though there were pictures of them together, even though she said it, even though he paid her £12 million. He claimed that he had never done anything wrong. You just, you know, you give somebody £12 million because they ask for you, ask you for it, right? And so he continued.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
To disrespect the public, thinking that he could lie to their face about what is plain and obvious, just like Donald Trump. And the question is, when will the GOP cut the ties to Trump? The royal family saw that he was dragging down their public image. They're much better at doing this. They've had a lot of practice with scandals and cover-ups and that type of thing, so they cut him loose. The GOP doesn't want to cut loose Trump, except there's some in the GOP who are starting, you know, that rope that he has tied them up with is starting to fray a little bit. So Michael Wolff appears in numerous exchanges, often acting as an informal advisor to Epstein regarding his relationship with Trump. The emails show that Epstein's role in his network went far beyond social pleasantries. He was treated as a trusted consigliere. That's a good word, because it's a mafia. Crime families, aren't they? A fixer whose judgment on matter of politics, scandal, and personal life was actively sought by the powerful. Yeah. The other people who had sold their soul to the devil. In January 2010, biotech venture capitalist Boris Nikolic was attending the World Economic Forum in Davos. Epstein emailed to ask, "Is it any fun?" Nikolic replied that he had met, quote, your friend, Bill Clinton, as well as then French President Nicolas Sarkozy, who has been convicted, but he only did. They convicted him of a massive bribery and the overthrow of Gaddafi for his own personal reasons, and sentenced them to jail. They let him out, I think, after just a couple of weeks or months. Anyway, and your other friend, Andrew, he said. And then Nikolic said he was getting sick of the meetings at Davos. It would be a blast that if you were here, he says. He mentioned flirting with a 22-year-old woman and said, it turns out she's with her husband. Didn't have a chance to check him out. But as we concluded, anything good is rented. And he puts a wink there. In emails with Sultan Suleiman, an Emirati businessman, Epstein complimented Bannon, saying in 2018, quote, we have become friends. You will like him. Suleiman said, Trump doesn't like him. Well, that's all that matters, right? Does Trump like you? In a 2015 email, he was communicating with Noam Chomsky, right? Another leftist, and offered him the use of his New York and New Mexico residences. And here's one, the artist Andre Serrano. And I looked at that and I thought, now that name is familiar. Where have I seen his name before? And they just described him as an artist. I thought, you know, what kind of artist is he? How is he? Music, film, whatever. No, art, you know, like drawing or something. Except he doesn't do any drawing. I went back and refreshed my memory. He is a quote-unquote artist. They call it, his form of art, transgressionist art. So he does things to offend people. He takes photographs of corpses, of feces. And he was the one who did, if you remember, the reason that his name clicked with me was because there was that big dispute. At one point in time, he put a crucifix in a container of urine. And he called it Piss Christ. Remember that? That's his art. It makes perfectly good sense that this guy would be a close confidant of somebody like Jeffrey Epstein. A crucifix and a container of urine. And the reason it became a big issue was because he was given a very, very large grant by the federal government, by the National Endowment for Art. And so conservatives are saying, pull the National Endowment for Art down, right? We don't need to have an institution like this. It's handing out. Where's the authority under the Constitution even remotely for anything like that? And then look at the way that they're handing out the money, who they're handing it out to, and what he's doing with it. Transgressive art. Boy, that's yeah, transgressing Christ, as a matter of fact. Anyway, Andres Serrano discussed the 2016 election with him, and he said he was so disgusted at the outrage over Trump's grab them by the... he said, I may vote for him just in sympathy. Right? This is what this guy's about. How dare anybody get offended at that quote? And so Epstein was also in touch with Peter Thiel, of course. Sent Thiel an email in 2014 saying, that was fun. See you in 3 weeks. No other information there.
Thiel, of course, knows a bit more about cybersecurity and didn't respond.
That's right. Yeah, so they say, for those inside the circle, the rules of the outside world do not apply. Yeah, that's right. And we want to look at just how evil this all is. Thomas Massie laid it out, as a matter of fact. It's not just banal. The evil of the elites who look at this guy, they don't care what he did. They know what he did, and they don't care. They just want to get what they want to get out of him. Massie looks at it from the perspective of how he pulled in these young girls.
Here, people say, well, why isn't it easy to come out as a victim? And when I was at this press conference with these women, the depth of the evil I didn't understand until they spoke it, which was, as 14-year-old girls, they were told by a friend at high school, come over to this old guy's house, give him a massage, and you can make $200. By the way, he's got a nice swimming pool and all this other stuff. All you got to do is give him a massage. the massage turned into something else completely, and he had their phone number, and then through the shame of it, he compelled them to show up at his beck and call whenever he wanted. And this is where it gets really evil. The only way they could get out of it, of showing up and you know, performing sexual favors for Jeffrey Epstein, was if they found another girl at their high school who would do it in their place. And so they were coerced into, and one of the witnesses, you know, witnesses, survivors broke down in tears because she admitted, she just said, listen, I was faced with finding a girl for him to take my place or going back there and doing that. And I found another girl. And so what happens is now, and people are still doing this, even after they know these are 15-year-old girls who were coerced into it by an adult man, they're saying, oh, you were a sex trafficker. You know, you trafficked these women. But they don't, I didn't really fully grasp how evil this is. Like, it's one thing to do evil things to people, but to make them do evil things. And yeah. Then once he causes you to be implicated, then you don't want to come out because then that's what happens to you. Now, there are people asking, well, why don't these women release the names? And the reason is these are billionaires. Like that. So what happened is Epstein, once girls, literally once they got to the age of consent, they weren't exciting to him anymore. And he would traffic them to his friends. Now, so you might, at this point, they're going to say, oh, well, there were prostitutes. They were 18. They were age of consent. Jeffrey Epstein was giving them something. And then they did, you know, sexual things with these men. And so what happens is those men who have billions of dollars, they had money to pay off police departments, to, you know, to lose reports, to pay off judges. What they would typically do is they would a lot of these girls were from families that weren't very affluent. The family would end up with $150,000 up to $500,000 of money, and the girl wouldn't testify. So basically, that's one of the things they would do. But now they would just sue them into poverty for defamation. And if you don't have the power that the government
like Dershowitz
to discover these facts, then you can't contest the defamation case well enough. And the process is the punishment. They basically go broke just trying to hold up their name.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Think about what you just heard there. I've got you under my power. I'm not going to release you unless you find somebody to replace yourself. Haven't we seen this over and over and over again? and horror films and demonic, Faustian demonic bargains and that type of thing with the devil. I mean, this is about as satanic as it gets, right? I'm not releasing you. You're under my power unless you bring somebody else in. That truly is amazing, isn't it? And then, of course, you know, these are 15-year-olds. Now, Megyn Kelly just told us last week, she doesn't think that's pedophilia. I don't think that's the same thing. So, yeah, they got a lot of allies. And there's a lot of people who will tell all kinds of nonsense to you, like Megyn Kelly, in order to curry favor with the MAGA cult and with Donald Trump. Megyn Kelly is a little bit late to that party. She's thrown out her integrity at the last minute here to a dying cult. You know, it wasn't that long ago that she was having issues with people who interviewed Andrew Tate, and she should have issues with that. I have issues with that. Platforming that guy, making building him up. But she had issues with that, and she had issues with conduct of other people. She was up, but now, because Trump is involved, 180 degrees away. You know, it's interesting to me that Thomas Massie is a person of integrity. You may not agree with him on every single issue. I happen to think he's got most of the issues, economics and things like that, he's got those right as well. And there's a certain amount of integrity that went along with him sticking to what he knew was the right thing to do for America. That's the first time that Trump attacked him and wanted to get him out of office, was when he stood up and said, no, we can't spend $3.5 trillion. Now, there's other things that I wish he had done in terms of vaccine and things like that. I'm not saying I agree 100% with Massie, but on the issues that he has spoken out on, he's had integrity. And, you know, maybe he doesn't understand or believe, you know, what really happened with the child. I had somebody who attacked me for the monster jab thing that we put up, right? I pinned that at the top of my Twitter thing. It hasn't got a lot of interaction. My Twitter account is basically dead. I've been shadow banned for so long there. I quit even trying to put anything up. Anyway, but somebody came back and said, well, go pat yourself on the back for being right or whatever. Yeah, it wasn't about that at all. I wrote that, and of course I had to wait for Lance to be able to do a fantastic job on the visuals and stuff. But I wrote that early part of this last summer, when everything started picking up in terms of the alibi. They wanted to tell you that it was the Wu flu, that it came from China, that it came out of that biosafety level 4 lab, that it was something that it was an accident, right? Nobody's responsible except for China. They shouldn't have been doing those experiments, and Fauci and Ralph Baric shouldn't have been funding that stuff. In defiance of the law and Congress, they continued to fund it at UNC and at Wuhan. And I knew all that stuff. And I knew that it was the first biosafety lab, level 4 lab. In December of 2019, I reported that. I was the first one at InfoWars to report that. But then I saw how fake everything was in China, and I pulled back from that, because then I saw the measures that were being proposed, and it was precisely what they had practiced from dark winter on. And so then by the time we got to the summer, I had Alex Jones, who was pushing the panic button so he could sell food to people. And he brought in Francis Boyle, who I'd interviewed many times, because I don't think they should be doing these experiments. I don't think that they should be trying to make very dangerous substances, because they've also got a very bad safety record. As we saw in 2014, Allison Young with USA Today did a series of all these different accidents that they had at these biosafety level 3 and 4 labs, which we have hundreds of them in the United States, usually attached to a university. And largely because of her reporting, Congress said, stop it. But of course, Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci continue to do it in defiance of Congress, just like Trump does it. You know, and stop me if you can. Yeah, go ahead.
The ones we had here, of course, were gain of function for bacterial infections like Burkholderia, Pseudomallei, and Ebola and others.
That's right.
Which have known ways to make them much more deadly. They can definitely make those deadly. One in Wuhan was allegedly for viruses, which they've never been able to do anything with.
I agree. Yes. Yeah. Again, you know, we don't believe the quote unquote science of virology any more than I believe the science of climate change, because you can't have science if you don't have data. And these people don't have data. They haven't done the experiments. They can't reproduce the results and so forth. It's not science. It's a legend that's used for political purposes. It's a MacGuffin. So we have, in addition to the climate MacGuffin, we also have the virus MacGuffin that's always there. Convenient scare tactic for people. And that's why I push back on this stuff. And so Alex got me on and wanted to set up a kind of debate with Francis Boyle. But, you know, look, it's just common sense. Looking at the what I was saying is just look at what is happening here. You know, nobody's dying from this virus. It's phony. So it's not a virus. It's not a pandemic. But the jab is going to be really hard. Oh, yeah, the jab's going to be awful. But meanwhile, he's telling people, it's just sugar water. You can take it for Trump, right? It's not the anyway, I've been in this fight for a long time. And it wasn't to say that I was right from the very beginning. It was to say that these people are bringing up this lab leak stuff for two purposes. One, they want to have an alibi for what they did to excuse it. And number two, they want to propagate this lie of virology and of gain-of-function stuff to tell you that we got another pandemic at some point in the future. That's why it's important to come out against this. And when they started doing all this stuff, and again, Rand Paul, and it may be his influence on Thomas Massey, it continues to push this lab leak stuff. It's disgusting. I mean, I agree with Rand Paul on a lot of different issues. On this, I think he is 1,000% wrong, just like he was wrong about the vaccine. Dr. Fauci, you're going to make people hesitant to take vaccines. It's like, good, Rand. Why are you concerned about that? That's probably the best thing that could come out of this. Maybe one of the only good things that could come out of this. But he has been on a mission to come after Fauci and to do it by saying it was all the lab and it was a lab leak. And so I did that monster jab, not to say that I was right from the beginning. I was, by the way, but that's beside the point. The point is moving forward. Moving forward, they're inoculating themselves from punishment, and they're laying the foundation for the next one of these that they do. And you better wake up. That's what I told the guy. I said, well, if you really don't understand what happened 5 years ago, you're not going to understand what they're going to do in a couple of years, because they're going to do it all again. They got away with it. One of the reasons they got away with it is because this phony narrative about a lab leak. It was never a lab leak. It was always the jab. The monster was the jab. The monster had been created and curated for a very long time by the same people who were practicing to lock us down and make a condition of our release taking the monster jab. That's the bottom line. And so, where was I? So, this is a partisan story from Zero Hedge, feeding the partisan BS about this. Epstein backfire intensifies. He was live texting with a House Democrat during the 2019 Get Trump hearings. So, okay, there we go. We don't really care if it's our guy doing this. We only care if it's the Democrats doing it, right? And this is the kind of spin that you see increasingly from the conservative media like Zero Hedge. Look, I don't care about the whataboutism. As a matter of fact, if there's something, you know, when you look at all this whataboutism, you know, somebody uncovers a crime with somebody in your camp, right? And so you say, yeah, but what about the Democrats? Look at what they did. No, this guy's in your camp, right? Clean up your house first, right? Clean up your party first. Clean up your guys first. And then when you're clean, then you can come after the other guys, you know?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's what Christ always said, you know. Take the moat, you know, you're worried about this little splinter in somebody else's eye. You got a log in yours. So don't play this whataboutism. To me, that is the first refuge of a scoundrel, in fact. It's like, yo, yeah, well, I broke the law. Well, so what? Other people break the law, too. No, that doesn't cut it. Sorry about that. But they point out that he was live texting with Delaware Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett during a 2019 congressional hearing with Michael Cohen. And she was texting him back and forth. They can see this now from the records as somebody mentioned Rona Graff and as former Trump executive assistant. And she is R-H-O-N-A, Rona. And so she texted him and said, Rona, R-O-N-A. Quick, I'm up next. Is that an acronym? She didn't know it was a person. And so she's asking Epstein for advice. Who is this person? What can I do? And it's because Cohen said that Rona was the keeper of the secrets. She goes, so what is Rona? Is that an acronym? And anyway, so see, there you go. We don't really care what Trump did. We don't care that she's keeping secrets for Trump. We don't care that he was involved with Epstein. All we care about is that you had a House Democrat who was asking, texting Epstein for information on Trump. Get him. Get him. He's guilty. Get him. Then go after Epstein. It's just amazing to me. Forget this whataboutism. It's the most despicable tactic I have seen. And it is, why are people still falling for that? They use it so often. New Epstein emails tell us more of what we already know, says Free Thought Project. And they're right because they focus on not on the surface issues of the evil that was being done by Epstein to young women and women of any age. They don't just focus on that surface evil, but they look at who's pulling the strings behind it. And guess what? As I pointed out last week, it's Mossad, especially. CIA, likely as well. It serves as a continuation of the perpetual political bait and switch of a larger cover-up. And Free Thought Project understands it. They said, all this stuff is like just like this previous Zero Hedge article I just talked to you about. This is all about, oh, yeah, well, look at the Democrats. And look at what they were doing. You know, she's texting live with Jeffrey Epstein while they're trying to get Trump. Yeah, because Trump was joined at the hip. Well, let's put it a different way. Joined in some way with Epstein. The Democrats, being deeply embedded in the Epstein scandal themselves, clearly have their own motivations for releasing what appears to be specifically picked emails to implicate Trump. That goes without saying. The picture the emails paint indicates Trump's prior knowledge of Epstein's misdeeds. Well, of course, everybody knew that, right? And what appears to be an acknowledgement of his silence on the matter, as in one email, Trump was referred to as, quote, the dog that has not barked. But they ignore the fact that he was an intelligence asset. You know, we don't want to think about our intelligence agencies and how they run honey traps and they do all this stuff. And we don't want to think about Mossad. and the fact of, you know, what they do. Forget about it. The two of them were as close as two people could be, Epstein and Trump, and for many years. Not to mention Trump's ties to various other elements within Epstein's circle, such as his longstanding relationship with the Clintons, themselves heavily implicated, and Trump's involvement with the fashion and the model circuit, also an integral part of Epstein's operation via Leslie Wexner. Again, Les Wexner helped to set him up, and Les Wexner is the guy who's running Victoria's Secret and all the rest of the stuff. Trump is running his beauty contest, and the two of them organize beauty contests for very young girls and so forth. I mean, I've shown you the clips of this. We've all known this. One would think that if someone were being accused of the most heinous crimes imaginable, and there exist documents to exonerate said individual, they would stop at nothing to release information that would clear their name, rather than continuing to cover it up and to make baseless assertions that the entire thing was a hoax contrived by his political enemies, which is what Trump is doing. And this is what everybody sees. It's like, okay, so if you're not guilty of sin, Donald, you would want that information out to exonerate yourself. You're covering this up because of your relationship. And you're going even further. You're calling it a hoax. And you're dragging down the entire Republican Party with you, from Mike Johnson to the rest of them. And what a disgusting hypocrisy on the part of Mike Johnson, who has worn his Christianity on his sleeve, for him to be leading this type of thing. Especially if the person in question, Trump, already had a particularly sordid track record with a history of sexual misconduct allegations, and who had already been in court once for the alleged sexual assault of a teenager, and who is in fact legally adjudicated rapist. Again, he wasn't found guilty, just like O.J. Simpson wasn't found guilty in criminal court of murder. He wasn't found guilty of rape. But in a civil proceeding, that's what they mean by legally adjudicated, in a civil proceeding, O.J. Simpson's found guilty of murder, Trump is found guilty of rape. But he sued CBS over that, remember that? And again, I think he would have, or should have anyway, I don't know if there's any justice left in the justice system, but he should have lost that suit. Instead, he corruptly used the FCC to put pressure on CBS as Redstone wanted to sell. She's got cancer. She wanted to liquidate and sell to, again, his buddy, Larry Ellison. And as a condition of that sale, she had to pay off Trump. Now, to me, that is corruption that is worthy of impeachment. He's got a personal lawsuit against somebody, and he uses the FCC to put pressure on them to settle with him, or they will block the sale. How can people not be making that Article 1 of a dozen different articles to impeach this sleazy criminal? While one can speculate whether or not Trump participated in the abuse of underage victims, which for full transparency's sake, this author firmly believes to be the case, as do I, it should be painfully obvious for anyone with an iota of common sense that Trump has long possessed intimate knowledge of the heinous crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. As a matter of fact, his sycophant Mike Johnson even said, you know, he became an informant. Basically pointed out that Trump had turned them in. Not because he was disgusted and offended by what Jeffrey Epstein was doing, but because he was disgusted and offended that Jeffrey Epstein would try to buy a piece of real estate that he had his eye on. That was the reason that he turned him in. It is precisely the obvious nature of this relationship and the clear ulterior motive of the Democrats releasing it that is perhaps the most telling. Just like the Epstein files PSYOP of earlier this year, where redacted binders full of recycled information were publicly passed around by white right-wing grifters in a grandstanding show of smoke and mirrors. Good description of that nonsense. This latest stunt by the Democrats only serves as more political theater, pulling the public along on a string of limited hangout after limited hangout, while neither establishment party seriously seeks to reveal the true depths of the scandal. And then they all play the whataboutism game, and the media plays that along with them. This is because the fact of the matter is that the Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking network is and has always been an international blackmail operation operated by various intelligence agencies, primarily Mossad. This is a fact that has been meticulously documented despite establishment denials to the contrary. The deep state is the foundation of all this stuff, right? These intelligence agencies that run our government. They are the government. These latest Epstein releases are designed to act as bait and switch to keep the public playing the charade of left versus right paradigm, just like I pointed out in that previous article. Oh, well, look, you know, you got Democrats are texting.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Epstein, as they're trying to get Trump and all this kind of stuff. And they're playing that. Zero Hedge plays it. Megyn Kelly plays it. Alex Jones plays it. Steve Bannon really plays it up. Don't get distracted by what they're saying that Trump did. We're on a bombing run, right? Stay on target. Stay on target. This is like Star Wars, right? Arguing over which side has the worst child predators. All the while, the system empowers these predators and remain wholly unscathed. And child victims are used as pawns on a political chessboard. Maybe that's what Alex meant by 4D chess, right? The public should see these charades for what they are, and instead of focusing on the manufactured partisan divide, use it as an opportunity to call for unity and to demand the full release of all evidence pertaining to these heinous crimes committed by the rich and powerful. And that basically is what Massey is doing, you know. Before I play the messy clip here, it's again what I saw about Black Lives Matter, right? We got a police problem, the way that they engage with people. And again, this was really accelerated by the Obama administration. A shoot first curriculum being taught in the police academies and a lot of other things that they were doing that we should not have government officials doing. And instead, what they did was they used it to divide people into black and white with the Black Lives Matter stuff and the riots. Left and right, black and white. And so what that does is that means that you don't do anything at all about the police. They get you fighting each other, and the police continue to get worse.
You know, the president's been saying this is a hoax. He's been saying that for months. Well, he's just now decided to investigate a hoax, if it's a hoax. And I have another concern about these investigations that he's announced. If they have ongoing investigations in certain areas, those documents can't be released. So this might be a big smokescreen, these investigations, to open a bunch
That's
of
right.
them to, as a last-ditch effort to prevent the release of the Epstein files.
A phony investigation. Sorry, we can't do that. It's part of an active investigation. It's got to stay secret. That'll be the next thing that they do. Well, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz has an interesting take on the Epstein files because ultimately, this is not about left and right. It's not about Clinton's versus Trump. They're both parties to all this stuff. It's about the intelligence agencies, and it's also, Catherine Austin Fitz reminds us, there's an economic side of this as well.
I think the reason that many people who are in positions of responsibility in the government might not want this disclosed is I think it has the possibility at a moment when the dollar reserve currency status is in flux and people are feeling pretty sensitive about it. I think if the truth about Epstein came out, those files would lead to a truth about the money that's disappeared out the back door in the federal government and the truth about Operation Warp Speed and why the agency missing $20 trillion is running around demanding we inject mysterious ingredients in people's body, which this administration continues to promote. I think it will help people integrate the dots between the missing money and Operation Warp Speed in a way that really threatens the financial system. You know, it's one thing to manage the dollar successfully. It's another thing to try and manage it when people know your sort of covert tricks. And, and of course, that covert trick threatens Americans' retirement savings in a very deep and bad way. We don't have a debt problem. We have a robbery problem. And I think if too many Americans connect the dots, many people feel it would be dangerous for the financial system.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why some of the most obvious stuff that's there, things that they've used against other known pedophiles, like the GOP's longest-serving Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. They got him based on financial information, financial crimes, because they intentionally keep the statute limitations absurdly low for children. They can't come to terms with what happened to them in that amount of time. And so, as usual, Catherine Austin Fitz is spot on. Solari is her website. It's a great, great site of information. And, yeah, she gets what's, it's not a debt problem. It's a robbery problem. I love that. That really does hit it on the nail. Hit the nail on the head, doesn't it? And then Steve Bannon. You know, we have to come to terms with what the government is doing, and we have to come to terms with their covert tricks, as she pointed out. But we need to come to terms with, if we're going to come to terms with their covert tricks, a big part of their covert tricks are the influencers, like Bannon, like Alex Jones and others. Steve Bannon is all over the newly released Jeffrey Epstein emails, raising questions about the 15 hours of Epstein interviews that he has promised to release. Again, you want to look at the banality of evil. I think it's the banality of his show, of his evil grifting, and his being used as an influencer for these powers that be. He filmed hours of footage with Epstein in 2019. It was designed to get Epstein ready for an image-changing sit-down interview. So Bannon comes in and sells himself to this evil person like he sold himself to Trump and to so many others and say, I can help you with this. I can help you get away. I can drive the getaway car for you. I can make you look good, even though everybody knows that you're a criminal. I can make you look good. I can rehabilitate your image there. He promised to release the footage in early 2026, and the emails underscore the need for a full release, which observers from across the political spectrum have advocated. So out of the database of emails, you see what appears to be a very close working relationship between Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein. And again, one of the things that bothers me about Steve Bannon is how he wraps himself in Christian relics and imagery and all the rest of this stuff. One of the most deceptive, evil convicts I've seen in the public sphere. I never had any personal meetings with him or anything. I mean, he and Roger Stone were at loggerheads all the time, and so Roger Stone was kind of like repellent for Steve Bannon for the longest time. But now Steve Bannon and Alex Jones have found common cause because they're so much alike with each other. So the emails show how close he was. Many leaders, again, of countries that we can organize for you to get one-on-ones, he told Bannon, if he's going to come to Europe. Again, who is the we? Remember, this is about the intelligence agencies. In August of 2018, Epstein asked Bannon if he wants to come to Europe, and he said, yeah, but let's discuss there. There's a crazed jihad against you, said Bannon to Epstein. I've never seen anything like it, and I've seen a lot. So again, he looks at Jeffrey Epstein, and he sees a victim. Isn't that amazing? What an insight into Steve Bannon. In a follow-up email, Bannon wrote, "Somebody big has you in their gun sights." Okay, a jihad against Jeffrey Epstein. This poor guy, why are they coming after him? I just don't know. Then in 2019, Epstein was apparently scheduled to meet Bannon for breakfast on July 7th, but he was arrested for sex trafficking charges the day prior. And so one of the first things he's going to do when he comes back to the States is to meet with Steve Bannon. And as Michael Wolff had said, before he came back, he's in Europe, and Jeffrey Epstein said, "I think I may have," because Michael Wolff had used a lot of his comments about Trump and his biography that attacked Trump. And so he said, "I may have said too much." And Michael Wolff said, "Yeah, he did, because as soon as his plane touched down in the U.S., he was arrested." And, if he had not been arrested, the very next order of business was to go see Steve Bannon, have breakfast with him. So we're going to do PR for the pedo spy, Jeffrey Epstein. The emails shine a new light on reporting on Bannon's attempts to rehabilitate Epstein's public image. Hollywood Reporter described this stuff, which he's now going to turn into a documentary. Understand, that was not the purpose. The purpose of recording that was to coach him. He was going to play the role of Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes, or whoever it was. I guess Mike Wallace was dead at that point in time. But he was going to have a sit-down interview with 60 Minutes. They don't say who it was.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, I think 60 Minutes, I think Mike Wallace, but he left a long time ago. And Bannon, here it is. Bannon was going to play the part of Mike Wallace. So I guess Mike Wallace was still there. Bannon promised to release the footage. We'll see. He recorded it 6 years ago. Why is he waiting? Seems to me like if you love the spotlight like Bannon does, you would want to put it out there right away. You know, strike while the iron is hot. Everybody's talking about Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody would want to see your stuff there, Steve. What are you hiding it for? Well, he's had a lot of people on the right who have attacked him, not just on the left. And everybody said when they saw Bannon with Epstein, the two of them looked like close friends. You know, just like with Donald Trump and Epstein. Amazing. Well, Roger Stone has attacked Bannon, calling him a perjurer, a BS artist, and a backstabber. Pretty accurate.
Wow, so brave of him to attack.
Yeah, exactly. But inciting over 1,700 mentions of Steve Bannon in Epstein's emails released today, including many emails between Steve and his pedophile friend Jeffrey, said Roger Stone. Roger Stone went on to say, Bannon took big bucks from Epstein to rehabilitate his image. I mean, doesn't that tell us all we need to know about Steve Bannon? Why do people still trust him? I just can't understand it. Anyway.
Because Epstein knows how to rehabilitate someone's image, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Steve Bannon knows how to rehabilitate his own image, doesn't he? Dana Loesch criticized what she called an eager to showboat Bannon. Yeah, that's, he is. For allowing Wolf all access to Trump's White House. But again, you know, she's staying within this carefully constructed Hegelian left-right paradigm. Alex Jones took a different tack, dismissing the presence of Bannon in Epstein's email by citing Bannon's plans to interview Epstein. Yes, Steve Bannon doing a TV interview with him. That's what he does, right? And what you do is you cover for criminals. That's what you do, isn't it, Alex? It's just amazing. They were pals. They were pals just like Trump was. And you have covered for Trump for 10 years now. You've covered up for Trump. And so, of course, you would cover up for somebody who's just like him, Steve Bannon. Palling around with Jeffrey Epstein. Megyn Kelly reviewed a tape of the conversation between Wolf, Bannon, Epstein and former Barack Obama White House counsel Catherine Ruemmler, recorded for one of Wolf's books, describing them as friendly and upbeat. Megyn Kelly said it sounds like friends having a good time, laughing and joking as they try to come up with ways to spin a known sex abuser back into the good graces of the public. But again, you know, she's not really too sure anymore what pedophilia is, Megyn Kelly isn't. So she said, why was our friend, Steve Bannon, well, he may be your friend, not mine, and what does he know of the Wolf tapes? More importantly, what about Bannon's own tapes, she said. It's been reported that he has 15 hours of his own tapes of this guy, but that they've never been released. We're pals with him. And we would love to ask him directly here in a good exchange. So he's Bannon is Megyn Kelly's friend and Bannon is Jeffrey Epstein's friend. So you think about it, you know, this 6 degrees of separation what is his name? Let's see. Kevin Bacon. Yeah. In Hollywood, right? There's only like 1 degree of separation between Jeffrey Epstein and most of these people you tune into for news. And the politicians that you vote for and send your money to, if you support Trump and his tribe. So, again, we're pals with him, and we'd like to know more about this, says the showboating Megyn Kelly. Well, Saturday Night Live had not one, but had three different references, skits that touched on Jeffrey Epstein's emails. And one of them in a news report, they said, as you all know, there was no news this week. Nothing happened with the president. No weird information was revealed. No one had any accusations that rhyme with edophile. Trump did nothing wrong. And they said, if anything, his crime was just loving too much and possibly loving too young. Eventually, their Trump impersonator stepped up and said, when he was asked about it, they said, you know, the dog that didn't bark, he goes, well, first of all, I'm not a dog. I'm more like a cub, possibly an otter. Anyway, he then said, when they said, release all the Epstein files, he said, I've decided to do that at a price of $800 per file, holding up an email with a gilded frame that some readers believe referenced both Trump and Bill Clinton. So, again, they had a lot of fun with it. But, you know, the amazing thing with all this is how there can be... you know, everybody wants to pretend that there's no connections. As one person said in one of the jokes, they said, how many pedophiles do you know? One, maybe two? Well, because they're working in the entertainment business. Trump is like the Forrest Gump of meeting famous pedophiles. Again, it's this, you know, level of separation. And it's what I've said many times about people. You know, how many people do you know that are in the CIA? How many people do you know that have family members who have been part of the CIA? And what does it tell you when you see influencers like Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson who aspire to be CIA, who have family members in the CIA, who have all kinds of contacts in the CIA that come on regularly, people like Steve Pachinik and many others, many of them in military intelligence? What does that tell you about that? Maybe you should think about that. Well, this is all these guys, they just don't see the connections, do they?
Seriously, we need to release the Epstein list.
You say that the FBI has Epstein's list. They're sitting on it. Why is the FBI protecting the largest scale pederast in human history?
Simple, because of who's on that list. You don't think that Bill Gates is lobbying
Cash Patel
night and day to prevent the disclosure of that list?
Some governments around the world,
Dan Bongino,
may have some material that's related to the Epstein thing. Bill Clinton was knee deep in this, man.
Yeah.
He was knee deep. Yeah, you got to release it. Now what? What changed? They literally campaigned on this. It was part of the platform of MAGA.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, it was all partisan politics. That's all it was. They don't care about getting pedophiles. And they're not going to release them because of who's on the list. You heard that at the very beginning. Well, who's on the list? Trump is on the list as well.
You've seen most of the files. Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these young women to besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information.
Cash.
None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
Eli and scumbag.
We have.
The cash bag.
Files.
In the case file.
Okay. Now.
And where is the Epstein files? You have been very clear that there's going to be video evidence that proves that Epstein killed himself. And I've known you long enough. If you say it, I believe you. And I know it will be forthcoming. Explain the priority since you have gotten
that's,
this.
That's position. Why they're there. If you say it, I'll believe it.
His position, and Pam has gotten in her position, and maybe why this didn't go as quickly as some people anticipated.
Go as quickly?
Well, I lost you a little bit, but I assume you can hear me, so I'm just going to answer your question.
I can hear you, yeah.
There has been, let me get to this first. I had a graduation ceremony this morning down in Quantico with a class of new agents, and I looked every one of them in the eye, shook their hands. I said, listen, you're going to do this for us. You're going to protect the homeland. And
first refuge guys, you understand? Of a scoundrel is patriotism. Yeah, I was just down in Quantico, and I'm talking to the FBI. We're the first line of defense for our country, and I told them that. I'm not going to answer your questions about why we're lying and covering up a pedophile and this elite network of pedophiles. It's not just Trump. It's not just Clinton. It's this entire network of elite pedophiles. Well, Thomas Massie called out Cash Patel to his face.
I know that there are a lot of people out there, Sean, who are saying things are expensive, and we have to remember.
Wait, that's the wrong clip here.
Expensive because.
Okay.
Which clip are you looking for? I might have mislabeled it.
Massie calling out Cash's lies. Yeah. I don't know if we've got that or not. Well, if we got it, we'll play it when we come back from the. Oh, here it is.
I watched some of your Senate hearing yesterday when Senator Kennedy asked you. You've seen most of the files. Who, if anyone, did it?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Epstein trafficked these women to besides himself. You replied, according to the transcript, there is no credible information that he trafficked them to anyone else. You also said somewhere in the hearing and here today that the problem is that the case files are constrained by limited search warrants from 2006 to 2007 and that the non-prosecution agreement hamstrung future investigations. Those constraints only apply to the Southern District of Florida. They do not apply to the Southern District of New York, the location of the 2019 sex trafficking indictment, which produced many things, including a series of FD 302 documents.
Which is probably why Trump says he's going to do an investigation.
Cooperated with the FBI.
To protect it, to close it up nationally.
These documents in FBI possession, your possession, detail at least 20 men, including Mr. Jess Staley, CEO of Barclays Bank, who Jeffrey Epstein trafficked victims to, victims including minors such as Virginia Roberts Euphre. May she rest in peace. That list also includes at least 19 other individuals, one Hollywood producer worth a few $100 million, one royal prince, one high-profile individual in the music industry, one very prominent banker, one high-profile government official, one high-profile former politician, one owner of a car company in Italy, one rock star, one magician, at least six billionaires, including a billionaire from Canada. We know these people exist in the FBI files, the files that you control. I don't know exactly who they are, but the FBI does. Have you launched any investigations into any of these people, and have you seen these 302 documents?
Sir, I have asked my FBI agents to review the entirety of the Epstein files and bring forth any credible information, and we're working with congressmen to divulge that information and produce it to you, but any investigations that arise from any credible investigation will be brought. There have been no new materials brought to me launching a new indictment.
So is the loophole here, or is it your assertion that these victims aren't credible, that the 302s maybe didn't produce credible statements that rise to a probable cause?
It's not my assertion, sir. It's the assertion of two different United States attorney's offices from three separate administrations who investigated those same materials in Lifetime.
Are the 302 documents in the FBI's possession?
They reviewed all that, yes, sir.
And so have you reviewed those 302 documents that where the victims name the people who victimized them?
If I personally know, but the FBI has.
So how can you sit here and in front of the Senate and say there are no names?
I said all
I named one today.
I said we are not in the practice at the Department of Justice FBI of releasing victims' names. That is not what we do.
They're not victims.
We're in the habit of releasing incredible information.
These girls are trafficked to them.
Multiple authorities have looked at the entire.
Yeah, that's his excuse. Sounds like Fagan from Oliver. We're reviewing the situation. Can't do anything about it. And we'll do some more reviewing. And as Massey pointed out, Trump will start investigating the hoax, as he called it, probably so that he can put a lid on all this stuff nationally. As Massey pointed out, those court orders were regional and didn't apply everywhere. So Trump will do an investigation of what he says doesn't exist so that he can tie this stuff down. That's what I think is going to happen next. And he just keeps digging the hole deeper and deeper for himself. Truly is amazing. Well, I've been talking for an hour and 10 minutes. I need to give you guys a break here for a second. And before we go, I want to thank Self-Patriot. Thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate that. He says, remember, too, that Project Veritas recorded that guy that works for the Department of Justice, Joseph Schnitt, saying that Republicans were in the process of removing their names from the Epstein files. That's right. Sanitizing them. And that's why it's important to get these side things, like the documents that came out of the Epstein state that are there. But thank you very much for the tip. I really appreciate it. You know, we're about halfway through the month, and we're not anywhere close to 50%. I haven't updated the gas gauge. That was something that Karen's brother did, and he passed away. We're trying to get that keys to that. And but I just want to thank people who have made contributions. Here's some of the people that we received checks for in the last week or so. David and Anne Marie N., David and Debbie W., Lloyd P., Margaret Mary T., Scott C., Timothy W., James F., Aaron W., and a listener from New York. And I just want to say thank you to all of you, because it's the same names that we see over and over again. And so if you're listening to the program, if you're able, we really would appreciate it. I know times are getting tougher now, but if you're able to support the program, we would really appreciate it, and we could use your support. So we're going to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, I'll go over the other comments that are here. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We've got a lot to talk about. As a matter of fact, it's kind of amazing. You know, we talked to Gerald Celente last Friday, and he's talking about Gen Z and the frustration that people have with what is going on. Now, what happened in Mexico City? Yeah, there were a lot of Gen Zers that were there, and they were kind of seminal in some of the aspects of it, but it was across all demographic groups. So that's not the only thing that's happening, but there is a general sense. So it's not just limited to one particular bracket of ages. But it's a general sense that people have that, A, our institutions are corrupt and out of control and non-responsive. Isn't that true everywhere? We see this globally. And also the fact that they are working against us. And just like an occupied country, just like the people that were in occupied countries like Iraq and so forth, when they see that they have no control over their lives, and they feel that they have no future, things get really dangerous, and we've seen that break out in Mexico over the weekend. So we're going to talk about that as well as many other things. Let's come back in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
Making sense common again. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
Wait a minute. Where am I?
Sorry, Jefferson. The scoundrels who put America on central bank fiat currency used our heads on their coins as some sort of trophy. Despicable.
This is outrageous. Washington, I spent my life fighting centralized power. Now the Federal Reserve monopoly parades us around on their monopoly money. Tell me there's some good news to all this.
Well, there is a coin they can't control. One that isn't backed by the Fed, but backed by the Fed up. The all-new David Knight Show commemorative coin. Now patriots can support a show that won't sell out with a limited edition coin that's sure to sell out quickly.
They say money talks, and this coin has something worth listening to. The truth doesn't need inflation, only support.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
Welcome back. You know, I was looking at last weekend's clip there, and I've got a later on the show. I hope we can get to it. I'm going to talk a little bit about Ken Burns' quote-unquote documentary about the American Revolution that is supposed to start, I think, this coming Sunday. I don't think it started yesterday, but I think it's coming up. I have no plans of watching it, quite frankly. If you want to know about the American Revolution, you'd be better served by watching a fictional account of it, Last of the Mohicans, by somebody who was more honest about what was going on and got the gist of what was happening, rather than a fictional account produced by Ken Burns, which masquerades as fact. I mean, after he butchered the Civil War, he does a great job of making it entertaining. But if you're going to look at something, again, if you're going to look at a documentary or a dramatization about something that is real and something that is important, that's why I don't like most of these Christian Bible stories repackaged and reimagined by Hollywood, the David thing even that came out, the way they, so typical of what they do. You know, it starts out with David charging Goliath, and Goliath is throwing these big spears at him that are landing like mortars all around him. And then one of them hits him, and he hasn't even gotten off a slingshot yet. And he's laying there on the ground bleeding, at which point we turned it off and said, I've had enough. This is disgusting. Can you imagine what they're going to do with the more nuanced parts of his story? Which I just couldn't bear watching it, you know, and it's, but again, that's kind of what Ken Burns is going to be doing, except he's going to be producing, putting it forward as if it were documentary fact. Well, as I said before we went, I keep seeing the same names over and over again, and thank you so much, Radis Bro. That was a very generous tip on Rumble. Thank you. He says, from a generation with no hope or future, as we watch foreigners on the Black Mirror, wear our culture and nation like a skin suit. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be the technology thing that's going to make this one so much worse than any of the other fourth turnings that we have seen. Pisano Vante, 1776. Larry Summers is a nephew of the late Nobel laureate in economics, Paul Samuelson. I didn't know that. Paul Samuelson textbooks are used to brainwash college students in Keynesian economics. I knew that. So, yeah, I'm a music major, and I meet Karen, and I'm having a good time, you know, playing in bands and stuff like that. So you got to get serious about what's going on. I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. So what should I do? Maybe I should go into accounting or something, you know. And I went into it for one semester, and it's like, this would drive me nuts. I'd commit suicide if all I had to do was taxes and things like that. And, of course, you know, I took a lot of economics classes, enough economics classes to know that macroeconomics is absolute total BS. I call it Looney Tunes because it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to worry about the debt. It's like Wile E. Coyote. He doesn't have to worry about the ground underneath him, you know, because he can run off the cliff and he can keep going for quite a while. As long as he doesn't look down and see there's nothing underneath him, he's fine. And that's the basic operating principle of macroeconomics as told to us by Samuelson and John Maynard Keynes. And unfortunately, we are now like the Wile E. Coyote. We are now in free fall. And there's a giant anvil that is above us that weighs 38 trillion pounds. That's about to crush us, I think. So B. Taylor, 246. If we know all this info that Massey is talking about, why is nobody being arrested? Yeah, well, that's the rhetorical question, isn't it? Because of corruption. Because of corruption. And whenever they point out the crime of, you know, their guy, they'd say, yeah, well, what about the crime of that other guy? So it's like they cancel out. It's not a problem. It's kind of like the securitization of mortgages, right? You take all these bad mortgages, and if you put them all into one instrument, then you got Standard & Poor's and Moody's rates it as A+, even though it consists of a bunch of F-rated garbage that's there. Well, you know, it's kind of the same thing with politics. You kind of bundle all of these crimes of these politicians and, you know, the other side's crimes, cancel out and pay for your crimes. So you're covered. What about that? Oh, okay. So now I'm okay. Opossum King says Fauci is still a free man. That's right. And Trump was reelected. That's the thing that bothers me so much about all this stuff. He not only, I mean, you know, Fauci's a free man and he's got to keep all of that loot that he stole as well. Dougalog, Virginia was suicided. Now who's going to suicide themselves before their book hits the shelves? Yeah, we'll see. Real Jason Parker, thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. He said, here's some E10 for the Miata. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I can drive with a stick shift again now. I didn't think I'd be able to. So that's a real blessing. I can work the clutch and steer with my left, foot and steer with my left hand. I do somewhat walk like a robot, however. Not quite as bad, hopefully, as the Russian robot that I showed you last week that took a few steps and people said, looks like he's been hitting the vodka, or I guess, as I would say in Russia, the vodka. Audi, that's MRI is on my mind. But not anymore. Anyway, does any think that they'll pull a false flag before the vote to release the Epstein files? Yeah, I think not necessarily a false flag. I think that there'll be the Venezuelan thing is going to be paying dividends to Donald Trump. You know, once you go there and once you have the first American soldiers die, well, then that will make everything that he's doing okay, right? And everybody will close ranks behind him. Epstein Island says Trump will probably be revealed in the Epstein files 30 years from now, like the O.J. Simpson estate is paying Ron Goldman's father, what, 31 years after the murder? That's right. Yeah, real Jason Barker, nice as storm, and thank you very much for the tip. He says, I think the whole story about Trump and Billy Clinton is a way to discredit all the legitimate concerns. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah, that's what they do. Jerry Alitalo, Steve Bannon said, I published the entire library of my interviews with Jeffrey Epstein immediately, but I don't feel like it.
Maybe they're on Bondi's desk.
That's right. Yeah, is that some of the stuff that he had? Yeah, I wonder what's in those films that he had. You know, that's the other thing, too. When you talk to, when you listen to Michael Wolff, he said, yeah, he's interviewing Jeffrey Epstein, and he wanted to show me pictures of himself and, you know, with all these girls, and he wanted to show me pictures of Trump with all these girls and everything. Do you think that he wanted to show, since he and Steve Bannon were so chummy, do you think Jeffrey Epstein wanted to show pictures like that to Steve Bannon? I think Steve Bannon knew everything that was going on as well, and he's covering up for him. To me, Steve Bannon wanting to do PR for Jeffrey Epstein is at least as bad, if not worse, than trying to cover up these documents to protect your past, like Trump is doing. Just truly is amazing. How could that guy have any credibility left with anybody? It's just beyond me. Audi, Modern Retro Radio, thank you very much. I appreciate that so much. We'll get to see the Epstein files as soon as authentic Obama birth certificate surfaces. Yeah, everything is all a lie, damn it, on Rumble is his new program that is there. So check that out. And, yeah, that was the thing about the Obama birth certificate. You know, it was so interesting, the obvious forgery, the fact that it was there in layers as a Photoshop document. It truly was amazing. Jason Barker also says, remember Dan Bongino breaking down on air about getting the jab. Now he works for the father of the vaccine, and he covers for him. He is a flip-flopper. And I said that at the time. I said, you know, if you remember this, Bongino was pressured into it. He was very adamant. I mean, he knew that he wasn't going to take it. And he said, if my employer, and again, it was a big radio chain. I can't remember. I'm not really in that business anyway. So, you know, the big radio network was telling everybody they had to get the jab as a condition of employment. He said, well, if they tell me that, I'm just going to go away. And he didn't go away, and he quit talking about it, but he was still there. And then after a while, he admitted that he got it, and then later on, he, as he knew, again, first of all, he knew, I don't want to take something that is experimental. I don't trust this, right? But he did it anyway in order to have his lucrative job. And then a year or so later, as he saw what was happening to people, then he got very concerned about his own health. And that's what you're talking about. He broke down on air, very upset about the fact that he took it. And I felt sorry for him at the time. I feel sorry for people who...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Because of duress. I think it's a very evil thing to put people under that kind of pressure. And yet, I still feel sorry for him for having given in to that pressure. But here's the thing. If he's going to give in to that pressure, how can you trust him to listen to him for news? And how can you trust him as a deputy director of the FBI? He's going to do exactly the same thing. He's already defined himself. Perhaps that's why he was picked. Because we know this is a guy who will do what we tell him to do, even if he knows it's the wrong thing, even if he knows it's going to hurt him, right? He knew that the jab is going to hurt him, his health. And he knows that his credibility is going to be damaged when he openly lies to everybody's face. And everybody knows that he's lying in order to protect Trump. But he's going to do it because he's got the Trump job. That's it. So, Real Octo Spook says, in effect, we can't release the name of the serial killer in order to protect his victims. Nice logic. Yeah, that's right. Well, Trump's week in review has not been too good. As a matter of fact, he had such a bad week that in order to cover up, he has decided the best thing that he can do is to start a war within the GOP and to eat his own previous supporters, to eat his own Republicans. So he started out, you know, this week, they had the shutdown ended. Well, that was good. But then he brought in a Syrian terrorist, the Al-Qaeda guy that the U.S. government, the Pentagon, and the CIA, that is the U.S. government. And that is consistent whether you're talking about Obama or you're talking about Biden or you're talking about Trump. They had their way. And so they got all these presidents to do what they wanted in Syria for their geopolitical games, including Trump. And so then Trump brings in this guy who is mass murdering all these different ethnic groups, including Christians, after virtue signaling and pretending that he's going to do something about the mass murder of Christians in Nigeria. Don't hold your breath. But if you want to help the people there, there are some relief organizations. I had an interview with a guy who has one of those organizations that he runs a couple of weeks ago. If you go back to the interview, I don't remember the guy's name. Maybe you remember it. His name, Lance.
Are you talking about yournews.com? I don't.
No. I'm talking about the guy, the Christian guy, who goes to Syria frequently. They have a good program because they don't. They help with the material needs of the people that are there, but they also proactively try to help them to organize an early alert system, which is about all they can do for defense because the government won't allow them to defend themselves. They don't have a Second Amendment. I mean, they can, you know, try to get guns illegally to defend themselves, which, of course, you would want to do. If you can do that illegally, do it. It's better to face the wrath of a gun control government than it is to be massacred by these Muslim terrorists. Anyway, he's not going to do anything in Nigeria, and he has a terrorist there. And not only that, but he brings the terrorist in, this guy who's been with Al-Qaeda, with ISIS, with al-Nusra, and has now been installed as the leader of Syria by the American government. I mean, they don't even, you know, when you look at Iran and the Ayatollahs, right, that is blowback from the fact that the CIA ran a coup against the leftist elected leader, Mossadegh, back in the 1950s and installed the Shah of Iran and then trained him how to repress the population ruthlessly with the Savak, arresting political enemies, torturing and killing them. That was the CIA training him to do that. And so then the blowback from that is to have a revolution where the Ayatollahs are put in. Well, in this particular case, they skipped the interim period of building up wrath and everything, and the CIA just does a coup and directly installs somebody like the Ayatollah there. And then Trump brings him into the White House, patting him on the back and all the rest of this stuff, on Veterans Day, just to underscore how you don't want to, wars are when they tell you who the enemy is, and a revolution is when you figure it out for yourself. And so that's what, maybe that's helped MAGA a little bit to see that happening, to bring this terrorist. And I did see some people in MAGA saying, wait a minute, this is a security breach. How could we have this terrorist this close to President Trump? And it's like, yeah. What's the Secret Service doing with this? You don't see that it was Trump who invited him in? Anyway, perhaps it's time for MAGA to wake up, because over this last week we've had Epstein, we've had the H-1B betrayal, we've had a terrorist on Veterans Day, then Trump has decided that he's going to sue the BBC because he didn't like a news report that they did. So it's been an interesting week here. And as they point out in Reason, they said Trump is not doing too good in terms of grand juries. They're increasingly declining to indict the cases that have been brought by Trump's Department of Justice. The purpose of a grand jury is to shut down over-prosecution, and it appears that they're doing their job for whatever reason. as they point out, less indictable than a ham sandwich. And, of course, that has always been the phrase that you can, with a grand jury, you can indict a ham sandwich, except they failed to do that in the case of the guy with the sandwich attack against the ICE agent. They tried to hit him with a felony charge, and they took it to the grand jury, and the grand jury refused to indict him for the felony charge. And he's not the only one. I guess, you know, maybe what they tried to do is to change it into a club sandwich, as we pointed out. But in July 2024, 2025, Sydney Reed recorded on her phone as D.C. police transferred two men into the custody of ICE and DOJ, claimed that Reed tried to get between the officers and the detainees, and officers gave her multiple commands to step back. She allegedly did not step back, and one ICE officer then pushed her against the wall and told her to stop. She resisted. I don't know how she resisted. Maybe she just tried to keep from falling. And when an FBI agent stepped in, her hand was injured from striking and scraping the cement wall, causing lacerations. Authorities arrested her for assaulting, resisting, or impeding a federal officer, a felony that is punishable by up to 8 years in prison. Assault on an officer or agent, you'll get arrested, said ICE, bragging about this on social media. It's not rocket science. But when the U.S. Attorney's Office presented her case, a grand jury declined to indict. Not once, not twice, but a staggering three times. They took it before a grand jury, different grand juries, three different times, and failed each time. What does that tell us about how Trump is going over the top with all of this law enforcement garbage that he's doing?
And everyone says grand juries are rubber stamped because the defense can't present any arguments.
That's
or
right.
Evidence. It's
That's right.
just yeah. the prosecution.
You only hear one side of the case, which is what we're hearing with the extrajudicial killings in Venezuela. We're only hearing one side of the case, and it is, you know, it doesn't pass the sniff test, quite frankly. So after failing to secure an indictment within 30 days, which is required by law, the prosecutors instead charged her with a misdemeanor. Failing to secure a federal indictment even once is extremely rare. In 2016, for example, look at the numbers here. The DOJ prosecuted 130,000 cases. I think we have a very activist government, don't you? A grand jury failed to return an indictment in only 6 out of the 130,000 cases. That is a success rate at the grand jury of 99.996%. I guess they really can indict a ham sandwich, right? And then you have another case where they failed. Sean Dunn was the one who threw the sandwich at the federal officer. They chased him down. They booked him, and then they released him. And then they came after him, charged him with some other crimes, and he offered to surrender voluntarily for his arraignment. But instead, listen to this, federal authorities sent 20 officers in riot gear to his apartment to rearrest him. They did a photo op and a perp walk. 20 militarized police to arrest this guy for tossing a sandwich at one of them. And then they posted the footage online on social media as a threat to other people.
Well, he was a dangerous man. You didn't know what other snacks he might have had on him.
That's right. Yeah. Attorney General Pam Bondi called him, quote, an example of the deep state that we had been up against, and said he'd been fired. Well, no, actually, there's no information, no indication that he was part of a pedophile intelligence network. That really is the deep state that we're up against. You know, the deep state that Pam Bondi is hiding and creating alibis for, that deep state? Yeah, he wasn't a part of that. But when presented with the case, a grand jury once again declined to indict, and within 3 weeks of Trump...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Taking over D.C.'s police, grand juries in the city have declined to return indictments at least seven times. Federal prosecutors are failing outside of D.C. as well. In L.A., acting U.S. Attorney Bill Siley charged 38 people with felonies over alleged misconduct at protests and immigration raids in June, but the grand juries only returned indictments in seven of those cases. So he only got indictments in 18%. That's down from the usual 99.996% of the cases. He got 18%. Defendants' attorneys claim many of the cases are built on provably false allegations from federal officers. It's also possible the grand juries are serving their purpose, providing a check against prosecutors overcharging on minor offenses. When we look at this, just as we saw with Trump's lockdowns, it had a positive silver lining in the sense that people were able to see what was happening in their child's classroom. And I've said this many times. I've had discussions over decades with people about the evil of schools. And as people say, yeah, I agree with you. I see this happening over here and here. But it's not happening in my kid's classroom. Here it is. It's happening in your state, right? Oh, it's not happening in my kid's classroom. Here it is happening in your county. It's happening in your school, even. Yeah, but it's still not happening in my kid's classroom. And then they got to see with Zoom what was happening in the kid's classroom, thanks to Donald Trump. So it's possible that there could be a silver lining to this Trump garbage as well. Perhaps it'll wake up people to the good that juries can do. I mean, started out by talking about O.J. Simpson, and you can see that juries can go the wrong way as well. But it should be there as a check against the abuse of power by the government. That's its purpose. And so now, this last week, and again over the weekend, Trump is kind of losing it. He wants NBC to fire Seth Meyers. He still hasn't learned how all of this stuff. He should go back and look up the Streisand effect. Again, you know, he made this guy who was failing in the ratings, Jimmy Kimmel, he made him look like a hero to a lot of people, and he temporarily boosted his ratings until people turned in and said, this guy is not funny at all. You know, neither is Seth Meyers, frankly, but he wants him fired. You know, how dare a comedian make fun of America's biggest joke, Donald Trump? His efforts to punish people are having just the opposite effect, just like his attempts to cover up for Epstein. It's having just the opposite effect. He says, Myers has no talent, and NBC should fire him immediately. He's suffering from an incurable case of Trump derangement syndrome. You know, this is, I've heard the camp followers of their dear leader, whenever you criticize policy and things that Trump is doing, oh, you suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. Well, you suffer from Trump delusion. And so Myers made a lot of jokes about Trump and Epstein over the week. Beyond the jokes he made about the president, he also poked fun at Democrats like Biden and Chuck Schumer as well. But, Trump is a special case of a thin-skinned, spoiled rich kid. Now a billionaire who thinks, because, he can throw money at people, he thinks everybody should obey his every whim. And that's bad enough. But what is really reprehensible is when he gets the FCC, as I said before, to join in with him. That is total corruption. And of course, after he tweeted on X about Myers should be fired, Brendan Carr, the FCC commissioner, shared that post about Myers should be fired. And again, it is Brendan Carr who should be fired. Brendan Carr who should be impeached. He shouldn't be weighing in on the content of anybody. Again, we don't need the FCC. I mean, you can hold the auction once, and you don't need to have an FCC in order to hold an auction of the frequency spectrum. And once you do that, you don't need the FCC to police it to make sure that somebody's transgressing. If I bought and I own this property and somebody is trespassing on it, which would be some other broadcaster impinging on your frequencies that are there, then that's a case of trespass. And just like it is with land, if somebody is trespassing on your broadcast frequency, you should be able to take them to court. That's your private that's your property that you paid for in an auction from the government. There's absolutely no reason to have the FCC. And when you have the FCC, not only are they expensive, but of course they're creating more and more regulations, and they are going to be getting into content, which we've seen all along. So Seth Meyers on his late night show, here's an example of how the guy's not even funny. If you leave him alone, he'll go away. But Trump can't do that. So he said, President Trump was set to hold a private dinner tonight at the White House, and the guest list reportedly included and goes to J.P. Morgan, NASDAQ, Blackstone, BlackRock, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. And he says, in a related story, Bernie Sanders exploded. Now, how is that funny? I mean, it's not even funny if you are a supporter of Bernie Sanders. It's just stupid. These guys are political hacks. They're not funny. And yet Trump can point that out, but it's when he tries to intimidate them and when he uses the FCC, that's when it becomes problematical.
Yeah, why would Bernie Sanders explode? Was he not invited? I imagine most of these people are his donors.
That's right, that's
he's
right.
He's gotten that's quite a lot from, you know, pharmaceutical companies. He's one of the most heavily bribed individuals in Congress as far as that is concerned, and yet people still look to him as though he's some sort of outsider.
Good point, Lance, yeah. That is, again, that's the political spin on the unfunny joke from Jimmy Kimmel. He wants you to think that Bernie Sanders is opposed to all these rich people when he's actually a puppet of theirs as well, especially the pharmaceutical companies. So Trump is going to sue the BBC for up to $5 billion, even after they apologized. And again, people like the Daily Skeptic in the UK are no friends of the BBC. They report this. Trump says, I think I've got an obligation to do it. It was so egregious. Well, you know, maybe what you should do is sue them over the reporting about Building 7. It was a BBC reporter famously doing the live report saying that Building 7 had fallen 20 minutes before it was pulled down. You can still see it over his shoulder. They have lied to people about COVID and killed people with that. They've lied to people about climate change and to help deindustrialize Britain. And, of course, they have lied to everybody about the Great Replacement and all of these wonderful foreigners who are being brought in and coddled by the government. So they've lied about these really big issues. But if they do a news report that Trump doesn't like, then he's got an obligation to do something about it because that is egregious if you say something about Trump. If you promulgate the lies of 9/11 and the other shoe to drop, the COVID thing, if you promulgate the lies of climate and Great Replacement to destroy your country completely, destroy its industry, and destroy it demographically and with crime. None of that is egregious. It doesn't rise to the level of taking any action. But if you say something about Donnie Boy, then he comes after you. And so despite their apology, despite the resignations from a couple of people, he says, well, we're going to sue them anywhere between $1 billion and $5 billion, probably sometime next week. And I'm assuming he's going to do this in U.S. courts. The BBC Director General and the head of BBC News resigned Sunday evening amid a backlash in what has been seen as the corporation's worst crisis since the Jimmy Savile scandal more than a decade ago, that other pedophile. And so now they're being sued by a pedophile, Trump. They had a scandal because they covered up for a pedophile that was connected with the royal family and King Charles and so forth. But now they're being sued by a pedophile.
Pedophiles. The BBC can't live with them or without them.
That's right. Yeah, they're all over the place, right? Well, they are the elite, and that's for sure. BBC Newsnight also had doctored footage of his speech in 2022, making it appear that Mr. Trump was encouraging his supporters to riot. But again, 9/11, Building 7, climate hoax, COVID hoax, the Great Replacement, the green takedown, none of that is of any concern. It's just everybody's only concerned about Donald Trump, especially Donald Trump is only concerned about Donald Trump. Trump also hit out at Sadiq Khan, the London mayor, longtime political enemy, for letting crime spiral out of control in the capital. And so he said, my mother loved London, but that was a different London than you have today. Well, it certainly is. Will he send in the Marines, you know, after they're finished with Washington, D.C.? Send them into London? There's a lot of people who would applaud that, actually. Adding that Sadiq Khan was, quote, a nasty person. You know, he doesn't come after Sadiq Khan for C40 that Sadiq Khan, mayor of London, and Michael Bloomberg, when he was mayor of New York, put together C40, 40 cities that were going to...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
To impose arbitrary climate austerity and serfdom on everybody. That's what he should be criticized for, but no. He just says vague things like, oh, he's a disaster. He's a nasty person. And then Trump comes after his own, fighting with MTG and Marjorie Taylor Greene and with Thomas Massie. Amazingly, and I love this headline that was put out by one of them. It said, he criticizes Thomas Massie for getting married, check notes. Three-time married Trump snipes at Massie for, check my notes, getting remarried. Isn't that amazing that he would do something like that? So Thomas Massie just got remarried. And, you know, he can't find anything in terms of policy to come after Massie because Massie is right and Trump is wrong in all these policies. And but it appears that Trump has a Massie derangement syndrome. He's just flat out mad. Massie isn't just a signatory of that petition that passed, but its principal champion, which explains the timing of this weekend. Massie secured the petition, the required 218th signature on the Epstein file discharge petition, a parliamentary avenue that overrides Mike Johnson's ability to determine which bills are voted upon. And when the vote on Massie's bill takes place on Tuesday, a far larger number of Republicans are expected to vote for it rather than face subsequent attacks when they go before the voters because they kept the Epstein files under wraps. And so Massie has been not just a principal champion of transparency on this Epstein stuff, but of course he's been consistently been against war, against foreign aid, which means that puts him at loggerheads with Israel, who always wants foreign aid for war. And he has also opposed the trillions for the COVID scam. Remember, that was one of the first time that Trump demanded that Massey be primaried out. Of course, that didn't work. And Massey won in 2020 with like 75-80% of the vote, and Trump lost. But again, I played for you earlier, Senator Kennedy questioning Cash Patel on these perps, and Massey calling out Cash Patel's lies. Posting on his Truth Social account, Trump first attack targeted Massey. He suggested that Massey remarried too quickly after his wife died in June of 2024. So that's about a year and a half ago. The libertarian-minded Kentuckian married a former Rand Paul staffer last month. Trump implied the marriage was hurting Massey's 2026 political prospects. Why would that be? Claiming that polls give Massey less than an 8% chance of being reelected. Zero Hedge was unable to find a published poll that aligns with that characterization. In other words, I'll just put it clearly, that Zero Hedge won't say, Trump is lying yet again. There is no poll that shows him at 8%. It's more like 80%. Massey won his last three primaries handily, amassing more than 75% of the vote in each one. So maybe Trump just didn't see that zero and he got the numbers reversed. That's 80% in favor of Massey, not 8% in support of him. Not long after Massey's post, Trump dropped a nearly 300-word rant assailing wacky Marjorie and announcing that he was withdrawing his support and his endorsement of Marjorie Taylor Greene. He claimed that Greene's complaints about Trump's policies spring from when Trump sent her a poll stating that she should not run for governor in the Senate, adding that he's heard Greene is, quote, upset that I don't return her phone calls anymore. The president said he stands ready to give the, quote, right Republican primary challenger of Greene his complete and unyielding support. Well, again, that didn't work too well for the opponents of Thomas Massey. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at Trump and you look at him criticizing Thomas Massey, who, by all indications, had a very happy marriage, had four kids, had been married for over 30 years. She died suddenly a year and a half ago. And you compare that to what Trump did, where he throws his wives out and he hectors them after they're gone. And then he even took Ivana and buried her in his golf course so he'd get a tax write-off. How does somebody like that have the audacity to criticize somebody else? It's almost as if, you know, you take, like I've said about Trump so many times and how important it is how he treats his wives. You know, when you look at this, if he doesn't obey his oath that he takes as a wedding vow, why would he obey the oath that he takes as president to obey the Constitution? And it's almost like he didn't read either the Constitution or the marriage vows, because the marriage vows say, till death do us part, not until I'm sick and tired of you and I've found a younger model. That's Donald Trump's position in all of this. But Thomas Massey had something to say about Trump's bullying.
The president's gone after you in some deeply personal ways. I mean, attacking you over and over again, even attacking you for regarding your wedding, your recent wedding, which, by the way, congratulations. What do you make of all that? And he's obviously supporting your primary opponents. I mean, what kind of retribution are you facing?
You know, my wife told me, she said, I told you so. We should have invited Donald Trump. He's mad that he didn't get an invitation. So, we're taking it with a grain of salt. He's being a bully or trying to be a bully. And they're trying to beat me here in Kentucky. But here's what's interesting. The people financing this campaign consist completely of three billionaires, and they're all in the Epstein class. In fact, one of them is named in Epstein's phone book, not the secret files that the FBI is keeping, but in Epstein's phone book. So it's a small world. Dogs don't bark at parked cars. And we are winning. I'm not tired of winning yet, but we are winning. And not only the speaker, but the attorney general, the FBI director, and the president himself and the vice president, they're taking a big loss this week, because after months of fighting, I am winning this week with Ro Khanna. We're forcing this vote, and it's going to happen. I would remind my Republican colleagues who are deciding how to vote, Donald Trump can protect you in red districts right now by giving you an endorsement, but in 2030, he's not going to be the president, and you will have voted to protect pedophiles if you don't vote to release these files, and the president can't protect you then. This vote, the record of this vote, will last longer than Donald Trump's presidency.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, when we look at the three billionaires, Epstein billionaires, that have put together a fund to kick him out, and of course, these billionaires were people who were big supporters of Israel as well. Is there a Mossad connection here? Anyway, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, she quickly fired back with a lengthy post of her own. She said, President Trump just attacked me and lied about me. I haven't called him at all. She said earlier on Friday that she'd sent Trump a text message urging him to, quote, lean into the release of the Epstein files, telling him that Bill Clinton appeared on Epstein's flight logs like 26 times, and that Epstein was the spider that wove the web of the deep state. She included screenshots of her text messages, and she said, well, of course he's coming after me. It's hard to make an example to scare all the other Republicans before next week's vote to release the Epstein files. It's astonishing, really, how hard he is fighting to stop the Epstein files from coming out. And again, he made it all about himself. It could have been about Bill Clinton, but now there is talk that the White House is going to try to make it about the Clintons. That's one of their fallback positions. Of course, the other fallback position is to say, well, we're going to investigate it so they can seal up the records. But she said, it's amazing that he actually goes to this level. It really is stupid. Stupid from a PR standpoint. Maybe you should talk to Steve Bannon. He might be able to explain to you how this is a stupid move. Americans wish he would fight this hard to help the forgotten men and women of America who are fed up with foreign wars and fed up with foreign causes and are going broke trying to feed their families. And we're losing hope of ever achieving the American dream. That's what I voted for, she said. And by the way, you want to talk about Trump lies? Let's talk about the fact that he says, A, tariffs don't raise prices. Lie. Second one, food prices are not going up, said Trump. That's a lie also. And why do we say that he just exposed his own lies? Well, because he said he's going to relieve tariffs on some foreign food to get grocery prices down. A, he just admitted that he was lying about grocery prices being up. B, he just admitted that tariffs, in fact, do raise prices. And one of the most amazing things is on one of the Sunday shows, somebody went after Scott Bessent and listened to the absurd statement that Scott Bessent had about beef.
But what is your take on what you just heard? He's expecting $10 meat.
Well, Maria, the beef market is a very specialized market. It goes in long cycles.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And that this is the perfect storm, again, something we inherited. And there's also, because of the mass immigration,
I inherited it.
A disease that had been we've been rid of in North America, made its way up through South America, as these migrants, they brought some of their cattle with them. So part of the problem is we've had to shut the border to Mexican beef because of this disease called the screw worm. So we're not going to let that get into our supply chain. And again, I don't want to focus on one product. It's a very important product. And we are...
Okay, let's stop it right there. Somebody put that up with a comment. When your economic policies are completely failing, you resort to phony, made-up stories. So when these Mexicans and other people from Central and South America are coming into our country, did you notice they bring their cows with them? I hadn't noticed that. Have you noticed that? We have seen caravans of people, but we have never seen a cattle drive coming in with all these different... This is absolute... utter nonsense, no pun intended. And he's talking about the Mexican screw worm, but actually people are concerned about Argentinian beef because they've had a problem with hoof and mouth disease. And so that was something that was brought up by these other people if you import the Argentinian beef. I don't know if when they import Argentinian beef, if it comes in already processed, I imagine it does, or if they're bringing it into the... if they're bringing it into the slaughterhouses. I don't know how that is a threat for hoof and mouth, but that's not my area of expertise. Anyway, that's the insanity of this. And again, you can openly see Scott Bessent telling stupid, stupid lies, and Trump saying we're going to reduce tariffs on some of this beef because we got to get grocery prices down. Well, so then grocery prices are up, and they're up because of tariffs. He just had two major... policy lies that he's been telling exposed. So she said, I've supported President Trump for too much of my precious time, too much of my own money, and I fought harder for him, even when almost all of the Republicans turned their back and denounced him. But I don't worship or serve Trump. I worship God. Jesus is my Savior, and I serve my district in Georgia and the American people. I remain the same today as I've always been, and I will continue to pray this administration will be successful because the American people desperately deserve what they voted for. She's become a very outspoken critic of the foreign policy obsessions of Donald Trump, especially with Israel. And it's not even an issue. You know, when we look at Trump, the thing about Trump is that he openly does the things that other people try to cover up, whether it's his infidelities, his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, he's now trying to cover that up. That is very uncharacteristic of him. Usually he's proud of the things that he does that violates the rule of law and the Constitution. And when it comes to Israel, always in the past, Israel has bought these politicians, and yet they go to great lengths to try to tell people that that no, that's not happening. But he goes out, on the other hand, and he says, well, you know, Israel used to own Congress, and rightfully so. They should own Congress, but they don't anymore. In order for them to get their way, you need to have me. In order for you, Israel, to have your way, you need to make sure that I get in as president, because I'll give you everything that you want. So he is basically prostituting himself to Israel in that, and doing it openly. Everybody sees it. And then he proceeds to do it. That's the thing about Donald Trump, is that he openly does what other people are ashamed of doing. So Massey has taken a similar stance, and that's made him a target of pro-Israel forces. Earlier this year, the Trump team launched the political action pack focusing on Massey, and again, three billionaires who are part of the Epstein Club, Zionist billionaires as well. Robert Barnes, interestingly enough, Robert Barnes came out with a good comment. He said, this is a new level of stupidity. Going to war against Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene while going to bat for Lindsey Graham? Trump is quickly torching away support from key parts of his base. And you should include there, he's not only is he going to bat for Lindsey Graham, but he's bringing in a terrorist, an Al-Qaeda terrorist. He's Muslim terrorist that so many people died trying to fight. Brings him in on Veterans Day. That is an amazing thing. I'm glad that Robert Barnes is saying this. Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying this is good. We see this from a lot of different people. As a matter of fact, MAGA is out there burning Trump merchandise and putting videos up on social media. And it's about time, folks.
20 hat.
I hope this is for real. Not just isolated.
You're just gonna be owned by the Jews and go against everybody that actually is America first.
And cover for pedophiles.
Then you can fuck off. You're losing people quick.
You're going to lose us on the video here. We're going to shut that down.
What else have we got? We got some hoodies.
We're burning those in the big fire.
Oh, we're going to put those in the big fire?
Yeah. Those are two polyester.
We've got an Ultra MAGA shirt. We've got tons of flags. We've got way more hats.
We don't have the flags anymore.
Well, get some merchandise that you won't have to burn. Go to davidknight.news and you can find some of our merchandise that's there. You won't have to burn it in the future, because if you agree with us today, we're not going to change here. So another person said, Donald Trump has lost me. Another one says, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been America first from day one. Pro-Trump, pro-border, anti-woke. Now Trump turns on her, just like he attacked Thomas Massie, not for betraying MAGA, but for not being Israel first. He's showing who owns him, and it's not the Christian American people. I'm out, said this person. Well, you know, Trump always was a New York City Democrat. He was always against these policies to put America first. He was always part of the elite pedo club. These people are just now starting to see some of this stuff. And hopefully they will continue to see it. So you had the war got so bad that you actually had Tucker had Marjorie Taylor Greene on. They were talking about Trump's obsession with Thomas Massie. He's got Massie derangement syndrome.
So Massie has gotten in a fight, like a personal fight with the president. And unfortunately, I think it has gotten personal. I should say I don't agree with Massie's more libertarian.
And this is before the personal fight with Marjorie Taylor Greene began this weekend.
Of the Congress that I know a lot of them. He's the most principled. He's also a thoroughly decent man, like actually. And his personal life, and I know a lot about it, is like one of the most impressive things I've ever heard. He is self-reliant in the most American sense. This is a guy who lives off-grid in a house he built himself. And every one of his votes is a vote on principle. So I don't know how you couldn't admire a guy like that. I get that he annoys the president personally. Got it. But I don't think there are many people in the country who live out Donald Trump's own stated principles more precisely than Thomas Massie does.
Trump has principles?
What the hell is going on? He is a target, but Graham has an endorsement. And by the way, I just want to say clearly, I will do everything I possibly can to make sure Lindsey Graham is not reelected. Not because I like Lindsey Graham personally. He's a super charming, nice guy. But
if
Graham continues to get elected, then the whole MAGA thing is totally
You're
fake.
Pretty cute, doctor.
She's fake. So what is this?
Mm-hmm. What is this? Yeah, exactly. Well, again, that headline, thrice married Trump snipes at Massie for check notes getting remarried. But it's not just that. It's the way that... Trump came after his wives. But he comes out, get married already? Boy, was that quick. Again, 31 years of marriage. When she died, he described her as the love of his life. We don't know why she died, but she did die suddenly. And again, as he pointed out, it was not the vaccines. You know, people do die suddenly from other things. And again, that's what happened with Karen's brother, Keith, who worked with us here. And I know for a fact that Keith did not take the vaccine. He was adamantly against it. He listened to the program, and he believed what I had presented. Anyway, it's a year and a half after he got married. So Brian Shalhavi says, is the pedophile in chief losing control? Marjorie Taylor Greene saying again, I don't worship or serve Donald Trump. I worship God. Jesus is my savior. Or are we just finally tiring of his childish billionaire ego? Because, again, that's what it really was about Massie. It wasn't like, okay, well, I'm going to try to convince you that spending $3.5 trillion on the problem that I created with lockdown, I'm going to try to convince you that's a good thing to do and you should do it. Well, he doesn't agree with me. I really wish he would, but you know, hey, he's Republican and Ronald Reagan said the 11th commandment, you don't come after your own, unless you're Trump, in which case you eat your own. But that was really about his ego. There wasn't going to be an economic.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Economic discussion about that. He wasn't going to try to persuade him. This is like, I said do this, and you're going to do it. So Brian Schwabe said, I'm beginning to hear whispers, unconfirmed, that the pedophile in chief is in danger of losing the presidency due to his actions and handling the Epstein files. Many of these people that have been listed as Jane Doe victims in previous court cases against Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell are now coming forward to tell their stories. Two of them, Liz Stein and Jess Michaels, sat down an interview together with the new Arizona Congresswoman, Grijalva, who was the one that Mike Johnson was holding up, swearing her in for an inordinate amount of time, because he knew that she was going to sign the release petition, which was the very first thing she did. As soon as she was sworn in, she walked right over and signed it. So Jess Michaels said, we also know that we are no longer just representing Epstein survivors. We are representing one out of every three women. We are representing survivors who've never had a voice. And he said, let that sink in, Americans, especially those of you who are still standing with Trump and claiming that this is all just a hoax by the Democrats. One in three women in the U.S. have been sexually abused. And from my years of covering this subject, said Brian Schwabe, I actually think that number is probably even higher than that. Trump foolishly tried to pressure two of the Republican women who signed the discharge petition into not signing it. One of them, Nancy Mace, reportedly wrote the president a long explanation of her own personal experience as a survivor of sexual abuse and rape and why it was impossible for her to change her position on the matter. She wrote on X, quote, the Epstein petition is deeply personal. Marjorie Taylor Greene has previously stated in public in November of 2024, just after Trump won the national elections, that Republicans in Congress have covered up, quote, sexual harassment and assault claims, unquote, by paying off victims with taxpayer money. She said she was also a victim of sexual abuse as a congresswoman, and she had filed a sexual harassment and assault claim in the House that went nowhere. Thomas Massie has also talked about this. Right? It's a massive amount of money that has been paid out at taxpayer expense to the victims of Congress people in order to cover it up. And again, go back and look at Dennis Hastert and the Page scandal that was there in 2006. It was Tom Foley And this is a guy, here's the hypocrisy of the Republicans. Listen to this. Mark Foley chaired the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children. He chaired the Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children. And then it's revealed that he is hitting on minors, pages, and Congress. The guy who chaired the committee on missing and exploited children. And so this whole thing blew up. What was the response from the Republicans under Dennis Hastert, a known pedophile now? Well, he went on with Rush Limbaugh back in 2006, and he said, this is just a Democrat hoax. This is just partisan politics. There's nothing to this. Go back and look at the archives. And the two of them were just, yeah, the Democrats are just lying. They're just making this stuff up. Same tact that Trump is using right now. Didn't work. Didn't work then. It's not working now. Trump's not learned anything at all from that hypocrisy. And neither has the squeaker of the mouse, Mike Johnson. It truly is amazing that they just keep it up with the same stuff. And Thomas Massie has talked about this massive slush fund to cover up the sexual crimes of people in Congress. So Marjorie Taylor Greene made the revelation as a growing number of GOP politicians have expressed reservations about Trump's choice to appoint the scandal-scarred ex-lawyer Matt Gaetz to be his attorney general. This news broke out in November back then. Greene's request would include that the House Ethics Committee, releasing the findings of its probe into the 42-year-old Matt Gaetz, who was accused of paying two women for sex. Greene said, and here's the thing, she did back then, she was doing whataboutism. Going to excuse this kind of behavior on Matt Gaetz' side because they wanted to get him in. She said there's other lawmakers with skeletons in their closet, but she stopped short of calling them out by name. CNN reported in 2017 that Congress paid an eye-popping $17 million to victims of sexual harassment and discrimination via the body's Office of Compliance since its creation in the 1990s. Think about that. The guy who was chairing the committee investigating exploitation and abuse of children is somebody who's trying to abuse minor pages. And then the Office of Compliance are the ones who are tasked with covering up the non-compliance ethics violations, at the very least, if you could say, of these people in Congress. What total hypocrisy in Congress.
It's all the same type of naming scheme you always see from the government. It's the Patriot Act. It's the Ethics Committee. It's the Committee for Exploited and Missing Children.
Yeah. At least they're consistent, right? All the ethics reports and claims, including the one I filed, said Marjorie Taylor Greene, listing she wanted all these things to be made public. She said, all your sexual harassment and your assault claims that were secretly settled by paying off victims with taxpayer money, she said. So she said at the time, the entire Jeffrey Epstein files, the tapes, recordings, witness interviews. And so that was a year ago, right after the election that was going on, because of Matt Gaetz. And, but you would support Matt Gaetz. She just wants everybody else's. Let's air everybody's dirty laundry, and then we can put it out there, and then we can just all ignore it and go on. Well, I think the only point of putting that out there is if you're going to do something about it, and if you know that Matt Gaetz has got issues, you should act on it. Doesn't excuse him, the fact that they have been covering this up for all these people in Congress. That's a separate issue and needs to be addressed. So Friday night, Trump publicly attacked MTG, stating that she was wacky, a ranting lunatic, and that he was withdrawing his support for her reelection, all because she wants the Epstein files released and because she has pushed back against his obsession with foreign affairs, especially Israel, to the exclusion of what's happening in America. On Friday, the simmering tension, and I got to say, you know, the juncture of that really does show up in tariffs. His obsession with geopolitics and making everyone in the world bow the knee to him. That's really what the tariffs were about. They were not about raising revenue. They were not about protecting any particular industry. They were about having people kiss the ring globally to Donald Trump. He attacked every single country, even countries like Switzerland, where we had a trade surplus, and many others. He put tariffs against them. It wasn't anything economic about it. It was all ego and economics. That's why I call it, you know, they've had Reaganomics and Clintonomics and all the rest of this stuff, Bidenomics. When it comes to Trump, it's egonomics. That's what that's really what it is. That why there's not anything about economy. It doesn't make any dollars and cents sense at all about it. It's all simply about his ego. It's egonomics. This guy bankrupted a half dozen casinos. He doesn't understand anything about economics or numbers. So again, on Friday night, he slammed her in a Truth Social post, calling her wacky, a ranting lunatic, while also stating that he's looking for somebody to challenge her. So she said, President Trump just attacked me and he lied about me. I haven't called him at all, but I did send these text messages. Apparently this is what sent him over the edge. The Epstein files. And of course he's coming after me hard to make an example to scare all the other Republicans before next week, so they won't vote to release the Epstein files. It's astonishing, really, how hard he's fighting to stop the Epstein files from coming out, that he actually goes to this level. But really, most Americans wish that he would fight this hard to help the foreign, the forgotten men and women of America who are fed up with foreign wars and foreign causes and are going broke trying to feed their families. And they're losing hope of ever achieving the American dream. That's what I voted for. I've supported Trump with too much of my precious time, too much of my own money. You heard the rest of this. So, saying that she has not changed, but Trump has. And this is why, you know, I honestly don't think that Trump has changed. I don't think he's changed at all. This is the Trump that I've always seen, that I've always talked about. He has not changed. People do change, however, which is why you should always evaluate what somebody says. Don't just believe it, especially don't believe it if it's Steve Bannon telling you that or Alex Jones. But, you know, don't believe it because there's somebody that you follow, like me, for example, right? Don't believe it just because I say it. Look it up. Do your own research. Don't just become a camp follower of anybody. Trump's attacks.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Gave her an understanding, she said, of the Epstein victims. She said, as a woman, I take threats from men seriously. I now have a small understanding of the fear and pressure the women who were victims of Epstein and his cabal must feel. She said, as a Republican who overwhelmingly votes for Trump's bills and agenda, his aggression against me, which also fuels the venomous nature of his radical internet trolls, many of whom are paid, she said. Well, who'd be paying trolls for Trump? Well, it'd be Trump or somebody who supports Trump. She said, this is completely shocking to everyone. Well, you know, we stop and think about this. Nancy Mace came out of those hearings. I showed you the picture of it. She was in tears when she had talked to the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Marjorie Taylor Greene made it very clear that she wasn't changing. And so it was Lauren Boebert who was called into the Situation Room and had Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, and other people that were there to put pressure on her, including Trump. And she, as I pointed out on Friday, she did not yield on that. And so I guess that was why they called her in, because the other two women, they knew they could not change their mind. She said, I'm now being contacted by private security firms with warnings for my safety as a hotbed of threats against me are being fueled and egged on by the most powerful man in the world, the man I supported and helped to get elected. Aggressive rhetoric attacking me has historically led to death threats and multiple convictions of men who are radicalized by the same type of rhetoric being directed at me right now, but this time by the President of the United States. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? And so, it's also interesting to see how the press reports this. WND, which I've called to task many times for being uncritically Trump cheerleaders, they reported this, and it was all from Trump's perspective. Nothing of what was happening with Marjorie Taylor Greene, nothing of her response to any of this. Instead, the headline is, Ranting Lunatic, Trump Officially Cuts Off Support of Marjorie Taylor Greene. And then they proceed to chronicle and repeat every allegation of Donald Trump without having anything at all for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Isn't that amazing? You know, WND, just like Breitbart, have become such Trump and Israel shills, you can't trust anything they say anymore. It truly is amazing. I mean, I look at them because it's for the same reason that I read a lot of left-leaning stuff. Not because I believe any of it, it's just because it's like, wow, they really said that? And I was really amazed. They just report it completely from Trump's side and not a response at all from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, plane, I think it was, you had some reporters that were asking questions. Yeah, it was on Air Force One. They're asking Trump questions about his health issues. And, of course, when he went to Walter Reed Hospital, they said the only reason for him to go there is if he's having an MRI, said somebody, because they said everything else that could be done in a hospital, they have it set up at the White House. So the only reason for him to go would be to get an MRI. And you don't do that casually. I mean, I had several of these after my stroke, and it's an expensive thing, but it's also something that is not casually done because it's a complicated procedure and very expensive and big machines. Why they don't have it even at the White House. And so one reporter says, was it your brain? And Trump says, I have no idea what they analyzed.
What brain?
I guess, what brain? Was it your brain? Was it your heart? Do you have a brain? Do you have a heart? So he needs to go see the wizard, I guess, to get a brain and to get a heart. I don't know. But anyway, who wouldn't know why you were getting an MRI? That's the thing I thought was really amazing. Of course, maybe he knows and he just doesn't want to tell them. And so he's engaging in yet another lie. This one, relatively harmless, not like the other lies that he's told. But they said, you know, why'd you get it? Well, because it's part of my physical. No, wrong answer. We know that's not true. Getting an MRI is very standard. You think I shouldn't have it? Other people got it. And the reporter says, well, typically an MRI, and then he cuts them off, right? Typically they do an MRI because they suspect that you've got some problem with your heart or your brain or some organ that they can't easily examine. The doctor said it was the best results he's ever seen as a doctor. That's it. Trump went on to call the results outstanding. My MRI is the best MRI ever. And then the reporter pressed and said, well, was it your brain or your heart? And then he cuts them off again. I have no idea what they analyzed. But whatever they analyzed, it analyzed well. They said I had as good a results as they have ever seen. Now, the other thing I took, as you know, an advanced, very advanced test on mental acuity. And we played this, you know, he starts talking about the test he did. You know, first you have to put that square peg in the round hole or this or that. First they start out with like the dinosaurs and the lion, and then you do this other things. So he just keeps digging the hole deeper, just like he does with the Epstein thing. So, again, the problem with Marjorie Taylor Greene is that she says she still supports Trump. You know, don't support Trump. You can support some of his policies. Don't support the Trump. Why would you support somebody who you just said is out there trying to incite violence against you? Seriously? You support him. This is not Stockholm Syndrome. This is politics, folks. I do support him and his administration, and I support them in delivering the campaign promises we made to the American people. His remarks, of course, have been hurtful. On Friday, Trump went nuclear on her. And again, when he said he's not going to endorse her, but he would endorse somebody who runs against her, then Laura Loomer immediately raises her hand on social media, says, I'll run against her. She doesn't even live in Georgia. Again, I don't know if it's, if you can do carpetbagger stuff in Georgia or not, but I know that you had several high profile people also involved around Trump's orbit. Who moved to Tennessee because there was an open seat and they wanted to run for it. And they were shut down by the laws in Tennessee, which I think are really good laws, saying that you can't run for Tennessee office unless you've lived a certain number of years in the state. And they extended that because that was already in place for state legislators. They extended it for congressional representatives. And so that kicked them out. I don't know if they'd have the same thing with Laura Loomer, but I think she's loony enough, and she has basically gone after any other well-known woman in Republican politics. She takes them on. And so I think she's crazy enough that I don't think she's going to win anything. You talk about somebody that's erratic and loony. You'll see her picture right there in the dictionary. Loony, Laura Loony. So Trump labels MTG a traitor to the Republican Party. Again, because what is the Republican Party other than Trump? And if you criticize Trump, that's like criticizing the Constitution or disobeying the Constitution, isn't it? No. No. Trump thinks that Trump is the country. He's the only country that matters. And he's always escalating this. But again, has Trump ever been a peacemaker with anybody? Once you get on his bad side, he just keeps building it there. We see him do this over and over again with people that he's picked to be in his administration. So again, she's calling him out for abandoning America first. I don't think he ever was. That's where I differ with her on this. I don't think he's lost his way. I think he has revealed his way. That's the reality of what's happening here. And so when you look at things like high prices, you know, she's called him out on that. Said, I go to the grocery store myself. I do my own shopping. Grocery prices are very high. And again, as I pointed out, Trump has just shown how he knows that he was lying about tariffs raising prices and about grocery store prices being higher, because now he's going to remove tariffs in order to lower grocery prices. And so in terms of interventionism, Trump, and this is an article from The New American, they go down the list in terms of grocery prices, America First, whether or not she's lost her way. But interventionism, I think, is one of the key things. Trump has never retreated from the debacle in Eastern Europe, says The New American. He's now leveled sanctions on Russia that came after months of failed attempts to mediate peace between Russia and Ukraine. He wasn't ever trying to mediate. You're not a mediator if you are arming the other side, one side of the conflict. He could have stopped this immediately. And again, it's what everybody thought he had in mind if he said, I can end this in 24 hours, right? Well, you just cut off all the weapons to Ukraine. End of story. He didn't do that. And because he doesn't do that, he doesn't have any credibility as a mediator. Now the Trump White House appears to be planning military intervention in Venezuela as well, despite what it says out loud. And, of course, in Ukraine, it's not just the new sanctions, but it's also the talk about sending in Tomahawk cruise missiles.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's not just continuation, but it is escalation. Escalation of the sanctions, escalation of the arming. So the massive military buildup in the Caribbean, talk about how they're going to escalate this to the next level. Dividing MAGA, says the New American. They're looking at, you know, where Trump has been this last year. And throwing out the founding father's wisdom. So the good news is that neoconservative foreign policy is finally being criticized as it should. And so maybe that will be his legacy, to wake people up. So she says that he is egging on threats against her, death threats. Well, he is egging on everything. He is the man of, not of peace, a man of conflict and of chaos. And we're going to talk about that coming up. And but before we do, I want to talk about this fourth turning and where we are in this and how we're rapidly escalating and maybe some of the things that we all should think about doing to help ourselves. I'm Marty. Thank you very much. That's very generous. I appreciate that. He says, raise the gauge. Thank you, Marty. I appreciate that. And DG8, thank you for the tip. He says, David, this MAGA cult is completely out of touch at how Trump is in full-out decline. They refuse to acknowledge it. They're in for a rude awakening when the midterms become a bloodbath. Yes, I agree. I think one of the worst political readings I've ever seen is the GOP reaction in general to the No Kings rally. They just dismissed it as an AstroTurf thing paid for by Soros. And the first one was, but this one was not that. This was a reaction, even not understanding everybody having the t-shirt saying, I am Antifa. What they were saying was, you can't label a particular group as being a terrorist on your own. We don't want to have a president that does that. And, you know, they should be, the Republicans should be pushing back against that because we saw that being done with Biden. But the Republican response was, oh yeah, well, what about Biden and J6? And it's like, yeah, what about Biden and J6? Do you want to firmly establish that precedent now by having Trump do it? So then we have now had a Democrat do it and a Republican do it. So now this is what they're all going to do. Whenever they win, they're going to come after their opponents. They'll use absurd indictments if necessary, but they're going to come after the opponents when they lose. We've always criticized the totalitarian governments that have done this. So it's been one of the criticisms of Zelensky in Ukraine. They locks up his opponents after he wins the election. Do we want to have that happen in America? And do we want to have people who exercise their constitutional right to protest being charged with violence because speech is violence and lock them up the way we saw the J6ers done? No, the J6ers ought to be standing the most firm against what Trump is doing because he is cementing into place what Biden was doing in the same way that Biden did that for Trump with the COVID nonsense and the pandemic stuff. And he says, David, Trump endorses Lindsey Graham, Randy Fine, and Elise Stefanik while promising to primary constitutionalists Massey and MTG. And MAGA can't see that Trump has absolutely no respect for the Constitution. And those three people that you mentioned there, they are 100% for Israel, not 100% for America. And they are completely owned by a foreign government. Real Jason Barker says to Liberty Journal, he said, Venezuela is a stopgap move to continue the dollar system for a short time till the stable coin and tokenization is complete. It is a huge topic. Well, I agree with that. I think there's a lot of economic issues with that. And Venezuela is very rich in terms of mineral things and other things like that. But it is, you know, when you look at it, it's going to be a major wag the dog distraction, just like the bombings were for Bill Clinton. So it checks a lot of different boxes, and it's going to be certainly happening shortly, I think. Real Octospook asks, where is Travis? I miss his offerings. I do, too. I miss the chance to take a drink and have a break at speaking here. He is in Austin, and they had a doctor's appointment this morning that they could not reschedule, and I told him I wanted him there guarding his son and make sure that nothing funky happens with that. And so he'll be back tomorrow, and we do miss him here. Timed Non-Tide says, what do you think of Mexican uprising against their Jewish president in the context of governments around the world selling out to Israel? Hard to join leftist protests. Well, that may be something of a factor. I'm not so certain, though. I see many attributions of that, and you know, if you want to see what that looks like, this is what is happening in Mexico City. It truly is amazing, the violence that erupted over the weekend, and it's not just this level of violence, fighting with the police, but they also have broken into buildings. There's other videos of them breaking into the palace there in Mexico. They call it a palace. Of course, Trump is busy building a palace here in America for the president to live in and pulling things down. What did you say, Lance? Yeah, and
I was just saying that first video you played was pretty amazing. If you continue it, they grab one cop and pull him away from the rest of them and start beating him on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. And here's some more scenes where they actually, this is mostly peaceful media. And so a lot of people say, well, these are the Soros people, and, you know, they want to let these people come into the United States. Here you go. This is one cop getting pulled out and beaten. And, you know, there's different ways we can look at this. We can look at it as a standpoint of frustration rising around the world. And I don't think it's simply Gen Z frustration, although that is a headline of some of the stuff, but it is general frustration because, folks, there's this concentration of wealth, and they're not even trying to pretend otherwise anymore. So this is pulled back from perspective where you can see how large the crowd was. It was not just isolated things. And then they actually got into the palace there, and they're throwing furniture out, smashing it on the ground, throwing it out the window.
They call it a Gen Z protest, but most of these people look older.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're talking about the fourth turning when we come back. A couple more comments here. Bin Laden Bernanke, the local police commentator, political commentator, talked about the ham sandwich thrower as if he was a rapist or a bank robber. Another brainwashed maggot. Yep. Yeah, it truly is amazing. I mean, you know, that is not violence. And we talked about that last week. You know, whoa, you got mustard on my bulletproof vest here. You know, it's like, hey, suck it up, snowflake. The government claims to have ownership of frequency, mineral rights, air, etc., says Real Jason Barker, Knights of the Storm. Yeah, I do not concur. We have tort law to deal with people harming others. Yes, I think he's responding to the FCC stuff. Again, I don't think the government has that or should have that right. It reminds me very much of jolly old England, where you could not hunt in the forest because all the deer belonged to the king, things like that. No, I don't think that is the case. And, of course, we've seen in California efforts there and in other places to say that the rain that is falling doesn't belong to you. You can't collect it. You know, that belongs to the state. So there's no limit to what they will try to take control of. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
Well, welcome back, folks. And this came in just as the program was going. This is from Francis. Thank you for the contribution on Cash App. And if you would like to support the program, you can find links to do that at Cash App, at Zelle. We have a lot of people who support us on Subscribestar. We really do appreciate that. And if you are a Subscribestar subscriber, Travis posts up the show every day. We have a podcast that does not have commercials on it. And he also posts up the description as well as the articles that we use in the day's show. Also, I want to thank people who have contributed in the last couple of days on Cash App. Jeffrey A. and Brian P., thank you very much. And I want to appreciate this card that Lisa sent to us. Thank you very much for this. I really do appreciate that. Karen is in Florida right now, and both her dad died a week before her brother suddenly died. He was 96, and so they're having a joint service in Florida this week, and she's down there. I want to talk about the fourth turning before we run out of time here, because I thought this was a very good article. You'll find it on Zero Hedge. It actually originally came from the Gold and Geopolitics Substack. And I thought he did a pretty good job of introducing the concept of the fourth turning. It's something that I've done videos on in the past. As a matter of fact, one of the first videos I did when I went to InfoWars about 12 years ago. And it's important to see the time that we're in. There's a few people who talk about it, but most people won't. They'll talk about Gen Z, Gen X, millennials, and all the rest of this stuff. Where did those terms come from? It came from Strauss and Howe, a couple of guys who went back and did a project. They called it Generations, and they started talking about these different generations about 20 years apart. And then they noticed that there was a cycle that about every four generations, you would have a major restructuring of society. They called it the fourth turning. And they went back and they identified this trend and 500 years of American and British history. And then they pointed out the same type of thing was happening now globally, because we had, because of telecommunications and technology, we have now become synchronized, if you will, in terms of these periods. And so we are at that point in time. And this is a very interesting article, because it kind of, first it gives you a general overview. And then it talks about a little bit about how the generations are shaping up. In other words, what role do these different generations play in each of these cycles? And then it talks most importantly about some possible scenarios and some possible outcomes that are happening here. As he points out, the fourth turning crisis began with the Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008. It was predicted in the early 90s by Strauss and Howe. They said, sometime in the mid-2000s, there'll be a financial crisis that'll be have global issues. That will begin the fourth turning, because all of these fourth turnings are always about economics and usually about war. And so that's exactly what happened. The Federal Reserve then, their balance sheet exploded from $900 billion to $4 trillion in just a matter of years, then to $9 trillion during COVID. The national debt, which stood at $10 trillion in 2008, has now reached $37 trillion as of August the 25th. This is why I say the role of Trump has been as an accelerationist and also to promote chaos. And that is exactly what has happened. He put us on a completely different trajectory, and it's one that was maintained by Biden and is still being maintained by Trump. We didn't solve the crisis. We papered over it with printed money. And we kicked the can down the road. The response to the 2008 crisis revealed something critical, that our institutions no longer functioned as they were designed. The banks that should have failed were declared too big to fail. The very people who caused the crisis not only avoided jail, but got bonuses funded by taxpayer bailouts. As a matter of fact, this is what Larry Fink made his mark doing all this stuff. He profited tremendously from this. Larry Fink and BlackRock. This fourth turning differs fundamentally from all previous ones because of the role of technology. The battlefield isn't Gettysburg or Normandy. It's your smartphone screen, your social media feed, your digital wallet. Previous fourth turnings required mass mobilization of physical bodies. Men marched to war. Women worked in factories. Everyone bought war bonds. Physical presence mattered. But our fourth turning now is being fought in the realm of information and perception. When you can't trust any source of information, when deep fakes make it seem no longer believing, when AI can generate unlimited propaganda at zero marginal cost, how do you know what you're fighting for or what you're fighting against? The fog of war has become the fog of everything. And the COVID-19 so-called pandemic accelerated this technological authoritarianism by decades. Well, I would say it was always the plan. They rolled that out just at the beginning of the 21st century, along with the fake 9/11 attack. Not fake in the sense that nobody died, but fake in as a false flag attack. Again, every fourth turning includes a monetary reset. The Revolution gave us the Constitution's gold and silver clause. The Civil War brought greenbacks and the national banking system. The Depression and World War II ended the gold standard domestically and created Bretton Woods. The U.S. national debt now stands at $37 trillion as of August. Unfunded liabilities, Social Security, Medicare, government pensions now exceed $200 trillion. The Federal Reserve holds over $1 trillion in unrealized losses. Commercial banks sit on $600 billion in underwater securities. We're not approaching insolvency. We're already there. Just one repricing away from systemic collapse. And everyone in finance knows it. The only question is whether it will happen slowly with inflation or suddenly with a default or systematically with a CBDC rollout or, I would say, a stablecoin rollout. He said, my money actually is literally on all of the above. Yeah, it'll happen slowly and then suddenly. But perhaps the most devastating loss is not monetary or military, but moral. The West built its post-World War II hegemony not on just our military might and our economic power, but on moral authority. We are the, quote, good guys, unquote, who defeated fascism, rebuilt Europe, and championed democracy and human rights. But that moral high ground is gone, destroyed by our own hypocrisy. Take Ukraine, for example. How would America react if China formed a military alliance with Mexico and stationed missiles in Tijuana? We know exactly, because we saw the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we've made this point from the very beginning. And so what do people think the response of Russia is going to be when we aggressively move toward them? It's not to excuse what they did in Ukraine, but it's just to understand how people are going to react, these types of people who run governments are going to react. The moral bankruptcy that we have now accelerates the fourth turning's institutional collapse. And that's another important aspect of Trump's role in all of this. His moral bankruptcy helps to do a collapse of the rule of law and of people's faith in government. And the idea that we have different branches of government, of course, the unitary executive idea where we have a dictator, a czar, who's going to do whatever he wishes, that has always been the desire of our current leaders, our modern leaders. He's bringing it to fruition. As a matter of fact, it was Ryan who had mentioned the film that was done by the guy who did The Big Short. He had done one on Dick Cheney, and it was, I didn't enjoy it as much as I did The Big Short because, I don't know, I just get tired of watching politicians. But, that was the unitary executive was what Dick Cheney was about all along. You know, they've been laying the foundation for this stuff, going back to the false flag of 9/11. Saudi Arabia, America's most important Arab ally since 45, is now buying Chinese fighters, pricing oil in yuan, and coordinating with Russia and production cuts. In other words, the petrodollar is dead. But the real prize is Taiwan. If China takes Taiwan, increasingly likely, given war game results, without an American military response, the entire American alliance system will collapse overnight. Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Australia would have to accommodate China. The dollar would lose reserve status as countries realize that American security guarantees are worthless. It wouldn't be a military defeat, but it'd be a psychological collapse. The moment everybody realizes that the emperor has no clothes. And this, folks, is another reason why Trump is being so belligerent with Venezuela. It's there to, just like, you know, if he were to, I think he's viewing it like doing a nuclear missile test. You know, look, this is the power that we have. Let me show you the power that we've got. And so I think that's a part of it. Distraction is a part of it. Taking their oil is a part of it. And then there's also their geopolitical arguments that they have been allied with Cuba, with Russia, with China, even with Iran. And so for all those reasons, they want to go after Venezuela. It is a done deal. It is going to happen. It's only a matter of timing. And it will be timed for the best political advantage and the opinion of Trump. And, of course, it also helps to establish this longstanding trend towards a czar instead of a president, a Caesar instead of a president. So the loss of Taiwan wouldn't be a military defeat, but a psychological collapse, the moment that everyone realizes that the emperor has no clothes. The tragedy is that America's military, despite spending more than the next 10 nations combined, can't win wars anymore. We couldn't defeat the Taliban after 20 years. We can't build ships that work. The literal combat ship, that means shallow water, the Zumwalt destroyer, and the Ford-class carrier programs are all disasters. We can't even supply Ukraine with enough 155mm shells, the most basic artillery ammunition. The military-industrial complex is optimized for profit, not for victory. And now we are going to pay the price. The boomers, who, if you look at the fourth turning, would be called the prophet generation, the Moses generation, for example, should be the great champions providing moral clarity during the crisis. Instead, they are the crisis. Biden, Trump, Pelosi, McConnell, all in their 80s or late 70s, all clinging to power like Gollum to his precious. The oldest president in American history, followed by the second oldest in history. Congress looks like a nursing home. The Supreme Court is a gerontocracy. They won't pass the torch. It will have to be pried from their cold, dead hands. But which boomer is the great champion? Trump fits the archetype, a charismatic elder who emerges during a crisis to remake society. But great champions are supposed to unite society for collective purpose. Trump, however, is dividing as much as he inspires. And maybe that's the point. Maybe this fourth turning's great champion destroys the old order rather than defending it. So Generation X, he says, that's so 45 to 60, said my generation, we're playing out the role of nomads perfectly. We are cynical survivors building escape routes. We're the ones stacking gold, learning skills, moving to rural areas, homeschooling our kids. We don't believe in collective anything because every institution has failed us. But it's the millennials, he said, 29 to 44, who worry me. They're supposed to be the hero generation, the ones who should come together, sacrifice for the collective purpose and rebuild from the ashes. Previous hero generations, like the Republicans who fought the Revolution, the Gilded who won the Civil War, the GI generation that defeated fascism, had external enemies to unite against. But this generation can't even agree on basic reality. Half of them want socialism without understanding that socialism requires a social adhesion that they don't have. The other half chase wealth through crypto and day trading while living in their parents' basements. They're the most educated generation in history, but they can't do basic repairs. They're the most connected, but at the same time, the loneliest. They're supposed to be heroes, but they're barely functional adults. Maybe that's harsh, but fourth turnings don't care about hurt feelings. The problem is, might be that this generation's crisis is just too abstract. Climate change is a perfect example. An ever-shifting, never-reached goal that keeps moving further away the closer we supposedly get. That's because it is a lie and an illusion. COVID was scary, but not scary enough. A 99% survival rate does not mobilize people like Pearl Harbor. Gen Z and Alpha, our emerging artists, are being shaped by this crisis in ways that we don't yet understand. They are growing up with screens, instead of friends, with algorithms instead of thoughts, with anxiety as a baseline. Previous artist generation.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Were overprotected physically, but connected socially. This one is overprotected digitally, but isolated physically. Said every fourth turning includes cultural revolution, the complete inversion of previous values. So we check that. We have the traditional family structure is now heteronormative oppression. Having children is now supposedly selfish. Environmental destruction. Marriage is a patriarchal enslavement. We're not just tolerating dysfunction, we are celebrating it. The gender revolution is particularly telling. No content with equal rights, a worthy goal achieved decades ago, not content with equal rights, we've moved to denying biological reality itself, saying that men can be women and women can be men, and children can choose their sex as they choose breakfast cereal. Yeah, we treat men become women and women become men, and children are treated like adults and adults are treated like children. It's a complete inversion. He says, this, however, is not organic social evolution. It is engineered chaos. And so we know all these things, right? The interesting thing about this is his observations and his scenarios that he sees, because we see some of the same ones. The purpose of the cultural revolution is not progress, it's demoralization. When you can make people affirm obvious lies, you have broken their spirit. And that's one of the reasons why Solzhenitsyn wrote the essay, Live Not by Lies, because you break their spirit if you make them live by the lies. When you can make them betray their children, you have broken their souls. When nothing is sacred, nothing is worth defending. A demoralized population does not resist tyranny. It welcomes it as relief from chaos. Is this not the society that we see here? I mean, when I see people out there cheering what Trump is doing in these cities, again, going to the places where he knows he's going to have conflict because he desires conflict, people are welcoming that as a relief from chaos, they said. Cultural revolutions create their own antibodies, however. The more extreme the push, the more violent will be the snapback. Parents discovering what schools are teaching their kids become activated. Workers forced to struggle sessions for critical race theory and other things like that will become radicalized. Normal people told that they're evil for being normal don't stay normal. They become resistance. And so it's going to activate people. So he sees a few scenarios. I think it's worth going through real quickly. We don't have much time here. Here's some resolution scenarios for the 2030s. He said, this fourth turning will resolve sometime between 2028 and 2033. But resolution doesn't mean a return to normal. It means transformation into something unrecognizable. He said, here are some of the possibilities as I see them. First of all, he thinks the most likely one is a breakup, a financial breakup, not necessarily a secession and civil war, but a financial breakup that is more like a kind of exhausted dissolution, you know, like what kind of what we saw at the end of COVID. It wasn't that people woke up and said, that's it. Not playing this game anymore, and came after the people who imposed it. They just kind of passively resisted by not complying anymore and kind of walking away. So he said, Trump is losing everything everywhere. He's already lost Ukraine. Congress won't fund it anymore. Europe can't sustain it alone. He loses Iran. They get a bomb while he is tweeting threats. And he tries to bully Venezuela and so forth. And his economic policies as well. Each loss emboldens the next challenger. And the world realizes that the emperor truly has no clothes. Seeing that he is losing both militarily and morally with Israel's ongoing genocide in Gaza destroying what remained of American moral authority, Trump does what all failing empires do. He turns inward. But this creates an economic catastrophe. His tariffs meant to punish others punish Americans with inflation. His pressure on the Fed to cut rates despite soaring prices destroys dollar credibility. He continues weaponization of the U.S. dollar and the SWIFT drives even allies to seek alternatives. Suddenly, all those dollars held overseas come flooding home. Tens of trillion seeking safety as global trade abandons the greenback, and the dollar hyperinflates into toilet paper. The resulting inflation isn't the 1970s over again. It is the Weimar Republic, where bread costs $50 and gas hits $20 a gallon. Society doesn't slowly decay, it collapses. Supply chains that never fully recovered from COVID snap completely. Blue states, which never really accepted Trump's legitimacy anyway, make it official. California stops sending tax revenue to Washington. They fund a government. Why fund a government that hates you? And New York follows suit, as do many other Democrat areas. By 2035, America follows the Soviet playback. Not a violent collapse, but exhausted dissolution. The federal government, like Gorbachev's Kremlin, simply becomes irrelevant. States stop listening. Regions form their own arrangements, and one day everyone realizes that the U.S. exists only on maps that nobody updates anymore. The empire doesn't fall, but it evaporates. But then he said there's another possibility, of course, and that is increasingly possible that it would not just dissolve away, but not through formal secession, but through nullification and non-cooperation. Red states refusing to enforce federal gun laws. Blue states refusing to enforce immigration law. Both refusing to send tax revenue for programs that they oppose. The federal government, broke and impotent, can't enforce its will. The military, asked to fire on Americans, refuses or splits. Washington becomes ceremonial while real power devolves to regions. The Pacific states form an economic union with Canada and Asia. Texas remembers it was once a republic, and the Northeast aligns with Europe. The heartland goes its own way. By 2035, America exists on paper, but not in practice. The dollar is replaced by regional currencies or Bitcoin. The military splits into state militias. The federal government maintains embassies and negotiates treaties, but has no domestic power. It is not a civil war, but a civilized divorce. Messy, expensive, but better than the alternative. And again, I've said this many times, rather than secession, you want to have nullification, rather because secession will be war. So the war resolution, plausible but dangerous, a flashpoint overseas, maybe Taiwan, maybe Iran. The war isn't won or lost, it just ends when everyone is exhausted. And then he said the transformation, hopeful but unlikely. He said by 2035, America is smaller globally but stronger domestically. This is the scenario that I hope to have happen. I think, though, that this scenario would require the collapse of the American dollar, which supports the geopolitical aspirations. And he said, so what should we do about this? That's what I haven't gotten into yet. Hang on, let's not close the program out just yet, Lance. I want to go a little bit longer here. So his point is, so what does this mean for you? Because this is what we need to talk about, not just what is the threat, but what do we do? First and foremost, accept that this is structural and not political. These are things that transcend politics. And it doesn't matter which tribe is in control. This is something that these are forces that are bigger than any political party, bigger than any of these individual issues. And this is going to be coming. It'll differ. Different parties will react in different ways to it. He says, your candidate winning is not going to fix this. Your party taking control won't stop this. The system itself is what is breaking, and it needs to break for something new to emerge. Fighting to preserve the current system is like trying to hold back water. It is exhausting, and it is futile. Better to prepare for spring while others are freezing. Secondly, it says, position yourself for multiple scenarios. Geographic diversification matters. Have something somewhere else that you can go to if your area becomes untenable. This doesn't mean fleeing the country necessarily, but having options. A rural property, a family in another state, even just camping gear and a plan. When cities burned in 2020, those who could leave did, and those who couldn't suffered. Financial diversification is crucial, but it is also complicated. He says, yes, own gold and silver. But physical metal that you can hold, not ETF promises, not paper gold, paper silver. But also understand their limitations. Gold doesn't earn yield. Silver is bulky. Both can be confiscated or taxed. Diversify across jurisdictions, asset classes, and storage methods. Some gold in a safe, some silver buried, some Bitcoin and cold storage, some cash and small bills. And again, these are not necessarily the things that I would recommend, but his idea is diversify the way that you're holding this. I wouldn't necessarily put anything in a safety deposit box. That is the most easily stolen place to get something. But, you know, spread stuff around is what he's saying. And have gold, silver, some cash, some barterable goods like ammunition, alcohol, antibiotics. Don't put all your eggs in any basket because all baskets will have holes. Skills, diversification might matter the most. Learn to grow food. Even apartment dwellers can grow something. Learn to fix things. Very important. When supply chains break, repair becomes invaluable. Learn self-defense. When police won't come, you're on your own. Learn to teach your children. You might need homeschooling. You need that anyway. And by the way, you know, let me just put in a plug here for the Civil Defense Manual. That's going to teach you a lot of this stuff that you need to have. It's not going to teach you how to repair things, but teach you a lot of the other organizational skills as well as things that you can learn individually. Go to davidknight.gold, which takes you to Tony Arterburn. That's where you can get physical gold and silver, and that should be a part of your planning. And then he says building community is essential, but it is also difficult. Again, Civil Defense Manual has a lot to offer in that area. Mental preparation matters more than physical. And I would say not mental, but spiritual preparation. That is what's going to get you through this. That is going to be your foundation. It's going to be your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To understand that there are things that are longer and more important than the short period of time we have on this earth. This crisis will last years more. You can't maintain panic that long. You will burn out. You need to have sustainable vigilance. You need to be alert but not anxious, prepared but not paranoid. History is your friend here. No, Christ is your friend here. What he's saying is, get a broader perspective. Well, the ultimate broad perspective is eternal. Understand that a crisis is normal. It is not exceptional. And most importantly, understand that you are living through history and not the end of it. And that tomorrow, folks, is not promised anyway to any of us. So the fourth turning suggests that we have about 5 more years of crisis before resolution. 5 years of increasing chaos, conflict, and transformation. 5 years it will feel like 50. 5 years it will determine the next 50. And so what are you going to do about it? And that's the key thing. Again, you don't want to panic. You will burn out. You need vigilance, but not to be anxious. You need to be prepared, but not paranoid. So again, watch, but don't freak out. Have that foundation in your life, because that is the thing that matters the most in this life. And I wish we had time to go into more of this, but I don't. Thank you very much for the tip, DG8. He said, Owen just put out a great video about how MAGA is failing. America is basically dead. How is your relationship with him? He'd be a great guest if he's been fair to you. I don't have any personal issues with Owen, but I think that, his role in the sting, I thought was just appalling. And is it really news that MAGA is failing America and is basically dead? I don't think so. I just don't know what to say about that. I'll leave it there. Thank you for joining us, and you can play us out now, Lance.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.